Hello and welcome into Jackson Field in Michigan State Capitol. I'm Jesse Goldberg-Strassler. Good to have you back here and along with us for Lansing Lugnuts Baseball. Today, it is the Lugnuts hosting the Fort Wayne Tin Caps in the second game of a six-game homestand. I'm rejoined now by Adam Jaxa once more. Adam, when you go back to yesterday's game, look, there was five runs scored in the top of the ninth inning by Fort Wayne to make the final score 10-3. Up until that point, though, it had been a tense and compelling game.
It was weird, Jesse, because Fort Wayne was essentially in control all game long, but it didn't really feel that way because the Lugnuts had an opportunity throughout the entire game. Well, they nixed that opportunity, Fort Wayne did, in the ninth. Five runs, as you mentioned. They collected five hits and really put the game on ice.
Let's go back to the very first inning, though, as Fort Wayne got on the scoreboard first.
Here's the pitch. High fly ball pounded to center. Wilvas goes back, turns right over his other shoulder, diving but can't get it. It's down for a base hit, and Wilvas is slow to get up. Rocher has scored. Valenzuela has shown the windmill around third. He's coming in to score, and there's no play to be made. It is an inside-the-park two-run homer for Brandon Valenzuela as Brian Wilvas is hurt in center. 2-0 Fort Wayne.
Well, the Lansing Lugnuts would come back, and it wouldn't take them all that long to do so. It was Austin Beck who came through with a sacrifice fly, and Lansing trailed 2-1. Now, Fort Wayne added two more runs for a 4-1 lead, but once again, the Lansing Lugnuts were on the comeback trail. Brett Harrison, RBI single, and that was in the midst of a two-run rally in the bottom of the sixth inning.
2-1, nobody out. The deal. Harris rips a base hit to left. One hop to Rocher. Collects it in a hurry. Gets it in. Here comes Angeles trying to score. No relay. He is in with helmet flying. Harris delivers him with an RBI single. Lansing trails 4-2.
So the Lugnuts were right back in the game. And at that point, the Lugnuts were down 4-2. They would add another run. However, a double play right there as it stood. So for the Lansing Lugnuts trying to get back into it, well, they would have to push forward. And as it turned out, they never got any closer than that. But Fort Wayne did add more. The Fort Wayne Tin Caps, as a matter of fact, adding a Joshua Mears long home run to go along with a couple of doubles for Mears in a massive series opener. And then those five runs scored in the ninth inning. And Fort Wayne went on to defeat the Lansing Lugnuts by the final score of 10-3. So that was yesterday. The Fort Wayne Tin Caps improving to 6-4, and the Lansing Lugnuts falling to 3-7. That brings us to today. We were delayed to start. We were originally scheduled to get going at 6:05, but the new start time, 6:45. And Adam, let me throw to you before we listen into our pregame conversation today. Today's game, there was the rain that came through early. It's still spitting. We have talked about how the weather has affected this Lansing Lugnuts squad throughout this year. How do you see today as the Lugnuts look to gain their mojo?
Well, I think they have to play through the weather. Again, like all teams do up here in the Midwest, here in April, you just never know what to expect. It is supposed to warm up at the end of the week, but the Lugnuts are not going to have to deal with, and the Tin Caps, as much wind today. There's some of it, but not the 15-mile-an-hour gusts we had yesterday. So play through it, and we're waiting for this offense to wake up and start to be a little bit more consistent.
Going to be interesting watching Joey Estes get the ball today for Lansing, opposed by the lefty Robert Gasser. Well, earlier today, I had the opportunity to sit down and have a word with Lansing Lugnuts right-hander Osvaldo Barrios, who was so effective for the Lugnuts his last time out this past Sunday, pitching against the West Michigan Whitecaps. And I asked Osvaldo, you got drafted in 2017. It's 5 years later. How have you developed as a pitcher?
That's a good question. Like, when you get here, you think that you can be in the major leagues right away. You can pitch it. But, nah, it's a long way. You need to learn a lot. Like, if I see myself 6 years ago, how to be a good pitcher is not only how well you throw the ball. It's how you behave in the ballpark. It's how you do with your partners. How well you practice, gym, everything. Your presence in the mound, and then comes the pitching part. So being a man and just like don't be frustrated when you fail. And when you make mistakes, that's the most part for the, like, when you're young, when you fail, you just feel bad. You don't you don't get good with that, you know? But when you grow up, you know that this sport is more fail than success.
Yeah.
So a guy that hits 3 times out of 10 is a Hall of Famer, you know? So you got to know that and just go every day and work your ass off and just be better every day. And right now I feel like I'm the best version of me, you know? But we kept learning every day, and I know I'm going to be way better next year, so...
You were sharp the last time you were on the mound. Do you know immediately how well you're going to pitch right from the first inning?
So I had a game plan, and I went that day. I said, this is what I'm going to do. And since pitch one, I executed my plan, and it worked like a charm.
What was the plan?
So I was going to work West Michigan in. On all of the guys and throw more fastballs than off speeds, and that's what I did, and it worked good.
Is there a difference you can tell between, let's say, West Michigan, Lake County, the first series, now Fort Wayne? Is there a difference between these offenses?
Yeah, for sure. Every offense of every team is different. Mm-hmm. You get teams that are like good outside, like good opposite field hitters. You get power hitters. You get quick, like running guys. Those are the worst, because you can get him like a grounder and they're still gonna be safe at first base. So, like, you know, some hitters stay close to the play, others away. So you just got to adapt to it. Just learn from them. They show you what they're good at and what they're not. So you just know how to get, you know, how to learn to look at the players. You know, look at the hitters, and then you learn. Okay, so I can pitch this, I can throw this, I cannot throw this. Just trust yourself, always.
How would you pitch these lug nuts with Angeles and Lawrence Butler and Soderstrom? This is a lineup that I'm expecting to erupt. How would you pitch these guys?
Yeah, our lineup is crazy good. I'm the same as you. I'm waiting for us to fire up. I think the cold hat is a little like rattled or something, but... Yeah. Our team is gonna get hot as the weather gets warm. We're gonna be good. I know it. I don't know. I've never came up with a plan to pitch ourselves, but I'm just gonna with my best stuff and just trust it. You know, throwing my best pitches and just let it go. If it happens, what happens? You know.
What's your stuff right now? Sinker, slider, changeup.
Yeah, sinker, slider, changeup, four seam.
Yeah.
Yep.
How do you learn your changeup grip?
My changeup grip, I learned like a couple years ago. Just throwing I think it was Grable Osuna.
Yeah.
Yeah, he was my coach in Arizona, and he teach me the changeup grip.
What grip do you use?
I use the circle change grip. Yep. And I did a couple adjustments back home with my trainer too, and it's working good, so I'm keeping it there.
Is your slider your favorite out pitch?
Yeah, my slider is my best pitch for sure. Yeah. That pitch has been good.
Osvaldo, I'm going to ask you one more question. That is, besides baseball, aside from baseball, what else do you really enjoy?
Back home, I enjoy, obviously, like a hobby, fishing.
Are you a great fisherman?
Yeah, I do a lot of fishing back home. Like, I got a couple buddies, and we go fishing. Like, see, we got 7 days. We probably go, like, 4.
Do you have more than one rod?
Yeah.
I got. How many?
Like, 6. Like 6 rods I got. Yeah, like 12 feet rods. Like, we fish like for big stuff.
You caught sharks before?
Yeah, sharks, big. We're going big. We do it for shore, though. We do it from shore.
Yeah.
It's a long wait, but we get some big animals, big fish.
This might be a stupid question. What's the biggest you've ever caught?
So I got, I think, longest was a shark. It was 6 feet long, 6 feet and a half an inch. And then I think the heaviest, it was another shark, and I think it was like 200 pounds. And a fish that is not a shark, I think it was a 15-pound, how you call that? Jackerel.
Yeah.
Jackerel, yeah. But my buddies, they got way bigger than me. Yeah, it's crazy.
Osvaldo, muchas gracias. Thank you for your time.
Thank you.
Lansing Lugnuts pitcher Osvaldo Barrios. I'm Jesse Goldberg-Strasser, and this is Lugnuts Baseball.
All across the country, people are coming together to speed up what we can learn about health. The All of Us Research Program is calling on 1 million people to join us as we try to change the future of health. For your family, for future generations, for all of us. Visit joinallofus.org and find out how you can become one in a million.
If you suffer from COPD symptoms like shortness of breath and fatigue, where do you turn? There are medications and oxygen, but do you know about pulmonary rehab? 3 out of 5 COPD patients have never heard of it. Pulmonary rehab is an exercise, education, and support program that gives you tools to manage your condition, and Medicare typically pays for it. So whether it's grocery shopping on your own or just walking across the room, pulmonary rehab can help you. Visit livebetter.org to find out about your options for pulmonary rehab today.
You're listening to Lansing Lugnuts Baseball, High A affiliate of the Oakland Athletics. Let's head back to the ballpark. Alongside Jesse Goldberg-Strassler, here's Adam Jackson.
Getting ready for game two between the Lugnuts and the Tin Caps. Both teams out on the field. We are ready for the national anthem on a dreary and 50-degree evening as the Lugnuts and the Tin Caps get ready to battle after Fort Wayne won game one yesterday 10-3. Let's send it down to the field. Great work on the national anthem down on Jackson Field, and we are officially ready for another night of Lansing Lugnuts baseball. Fort Wayne coming in 6-4 and now 2-2 on the road. They sit in second place in the Midwest League East Division, while the Lugnuts hoping to climb up out from the basement. They sit at 3-7, just 1-3 here at home. Joey Estes gets the ball, and with the play-by-play of Lansing Lugnuts baseball, here is Jesse Goldberg-Strassler.
Adam Jackson, thank you so much. This copyrighted broadcast is presented by authority of the Lansing Lugnuts and may not be reproduced or retransmitted in any form, and the accounts and descriptions of this game may not be disseminated without the express written consent of the Lansing Lugnuts. The Lugnuts defense around Joey Estes features first in left field, it's Johnny Butler. Brian Buelbas is in center field, and in right field, it's Gabriel Maciel. Around the infield at first base, Tyler Soderstrom. The second baseman is Brett Harris. At shortstop, Eurybiel Angeles. And at third base, Jack Winkler. The catcher is Matt Cross. And that does bring us, Adam, to the man on the mound, the right-hander out of Palmdale, California, Joey Estes.
How about the 2021 Low A East Pitcher of the Year, the former Atlanta Brave affiliate who spent time in the Low A East with the Augusta Green Jackets. Last year, he was tremendous. Now up with Lansing after the trade for Matt Olson earlier in March. He comes over to the A's organization. This will be his second start, Jesse. He went 4 1/3 innings over in West Michigan last week and helped them pick up an 8-5 win, just one of their two victories over in Comstock Park.
Estes will take on this Fort Wayne Tin Caps top third, and Corey Rozier, Robert Hassel III, and Joshua Mears on the Fort Wayne Tin Caps starting lineup as a whole. Rozier leads off in left field. Hassel III bats second and plays center field. Batting third and right field, it's Joshua Mears. Heading fourth, the DH Brandon Valenzuela. Batting fifth, the shortstop Jared Dale. Third baseman Justin Lopez hits sixth. Batting seventh, first baseman Jack Stronach. Hitting eighth, the catcher Anthony Villar. And batting ninth, second baseman Rip Going. The time is 6:46 p.m. The right-hander Joey Estes kicks and throws. On the first offering, called a strike in the outside corner. We are officially underway. Right-handed pitcher against the left-handed swinging Corey Rozier. Estes winds and deals. That's called a strike in the inside corner by home plate umpire Justin Juska. Our bases umpire is Kevin Levine. Corey Rozier yesterday in the series opener was 0-4. Swings and swats this one foul out of play to the left side. Stay nothing and two. He did reach base twice. He did score two runs. He had a hit by pitch in the first inning. And then in the ninth, an RBI fielder's choice. Estes deals the 0-2. A fastball just off the outside corner. Ball one.
How about that? We have a rain delay, Jesse, and still start about 20 minutes ahead of schedule from the normal 7:05.
I do not mind in the slightest. Estes is 1-2. That's off speed down the way. Two balls and two strikes on Rozier, who is tied for the Midwest League lead in most walks, Adam. He is tied with Lawrence Butler of the Lugnuts. A 2-2 offering. Just off the inside corner. Good take. Count is full. Remember, this started off no balls and two strikes. And now 3-2 for the man who draws more walks than almost any other. He swings and misses. A fastball right by him. And begin this ball game with an Estes K.
That's a great start. Three straight balls, comes right back in the zone. And it's something, even though Lansing gave up 10 runs yesterday, they only allowed one Fort Wayne walk. And the Tin Caps came in tops in the league at up over six walks per game.
Robert Hassel III is the next batter. Pitch is on its way. He swings and fouls back a high away fastball. Strike one. It was a game in which David Leal started, and I think that set the tone when it came to command.
Mm-hmm.
That only walk was issued by the final pitcher, James Gonzalez. Swing and a miss. Fastball by Robert Hassel III. No ball.
Leal didn't have his normal command even last night, but it still didn't allow any walks.
No score. 0-2. A ground ball on the right side. Backhanded by first baseman Soderstrom. High arcing underhand toss to the pitcher covering. Not in time. Hassel III beats out an infield single.
Yeah, just too much arc there from Soderstrom. He's got to go more of a line drive type of quicker throw with the underhand because it was a close play, and Soderstrom not catching today. Trying that first base position out. Picks up the error.
Joshua Mears is going to come up now, and what a ball game from Mears, huh? Joshua Mears in the series opener. He drew the only walk, and you don't blame them for walking him. He had two doubles and a home run. Estes took too long, penalized with ball one. Hassel III at first base, a threat to run. Seven steals this year. Doesn't go. Mears a check swing and a called strike one on the first pitch off speed. No score, top of the first inning. A strikeout followed by an infield single for the Tin Caps, the high affiliate of the San Diego Padres. Estes spins, fires to first, tag applied late. Robert Hassel III got back in. You've got the first rounder, Robert Hassel III, taken in 2020. And now the batter, the second rounder, Mears, who takes the ball outside. Joshua Mears drafted in 2019. Two high school draft picks. Mears is now age 21. Hassel III, age 20. Both of them 2001 birthdays. The pitch went around too far, and the breaking ball down and away. Strike two. I love seeing big-time prospects going up through the minor leagues together, Adam, and that's what the Padres hope here. From single A, now up to high A. 2-2 pitch from Mears. Estes holds, lets it fly. Fastball swatted, foul off to the right. He stays up there.
Well, and everybody relates back to their upbringing and drafted in the top few rounds, skip out on college. So they share that together and the uniqueness of just coming straight to play baseball.
Pickoff, though, again to first base, and again the tag late. I mentioned Robert Hassel III, 7 steals, 7 for 7 this year. Fort Wayne is a team 14 for 16. Ready to test the catcher cross, the pitcher Estes early. One down. This is a 2-2. Slider down the way. Did he go? On appeal, no. And the count is full. That was a very difficult pitch not to offer at. Mears has struck out a season-high 16 times, and now he can make it 17 as he waves right through the Estes offering away. Strikeout number 2 for Joey Estes today. 2 down in the first.
Well, it's been a really good start for Estes. Essentially 2 strikeouts and a weak ground ball, and you're typically out of the half inning, but a mistake keeps it going. But that's a way to pick up your infield defense, come up with a strikeout on Mears, who had an electric game last night.
Brendan Valenzuela's game was pretty good too, wasn't it?
Mm-hmm.
Switch hitting catcher, DHing today, bats left. First pitch, check swing foul on a line into the stands down the left side, strike 1.
There's a reason they bat those guys 3 and 4, so they can be run producers and be productive. And boy, Fort Wayne got great production from the 3-4 spots last night.
Valenzuela's the old man compared to Hassel III and Mears, born in the year 2000. Here's the pitch. He takes it up. So yesterday, it was Valenzuela who got Fort Wayne off and running with a 2-run inside the park home run in the first inning. And then in the 5-run ninth inning, he had the big hit with a 2-run single. A 1-1 pitch from Estes, scoreless in the first. Well, that's a changeup outside. 2-1, the count on the DH out of Hermosillo, Mexico. Estes last year was a big-time strikeout pitcher with Augusta in the Braves system. He fires. Breaking ball high. He's 3-1. Oh, by the way, Valenzuela, his young years aside, has walked more than he struck out this year. 9 walks, 8 Ks, and 8 games. He takes a called strike 2 here. And the count is full on a 3rd out of 4 batters in this first inning. It's a lot of pitches for Estes, but just the infield single by Robert Hassel III so far.
High drama here in inning number 1.
Right? 3-2 on Rozier, struck him out. 3-2 on Mears, struck him out. Runner moves, 3-2 pitch. Valenzuela takes ball 4 inside. And the inning continues.
It was a good idea from Estes. He just missed it, but he had Valenzuela taking that pitch, it looked like, all the way from where it started and where it finished, and he nearly got him there on the inner half of the plate.
So that'll bring up Jared Dale. Jared Dale, age 21, from Melbourne, Australia. Right-hander against right-hander, no score. Runners at first and second, 2 gone in the first. Estes deals. Slider grounded on the left side. Backhanded by shortstop Angeles. Long throw on a line to Tyler Soderstrom. Side retired. After all those deep counts, 1 pitch to get Dale for the 3rd out. A single, a walk. No runs in the top of the first inning against Joey Estes. We go to the bottom of the first. Here come the Lansing Lugnuts up against Robert Gasser when we return.
Out in the sun. That's why sunscreen and other safety measures are key to protecting your skin from aging and cancer. The FDA recommends using a sunscreen with a sun protection factor, or SPF, of 15 or higher. Also, look for broad spectrum on the label. That means both harmful ultraviolet A and B rays are blocked. UVA rays age the skin, UVB rays burn, and both cause cancer. But the perfect sunscreen doesn't count if you use it wrong. Don't need sunscreen on a cloudy day? Wrong. 80% of UV rays at the beach? Nope. Anytime you're outside, UV rays attack the skin, so you need protection. And you have to reapply sunscreen every 2 hours. Remember, SPF plus broad spectrum equal healthy fun in the sun. Visit www.fda.gov/sunscreen for more information. A message from the U.S. Food and Drug Administration.
You're listening to Lansing Lugnuts Baseball, High A affiliate of the Oakland Athletics. Now, let's head back to the ballpark alongside Adam Jaxa Here's Jesse Goldberg Strassler.
Joey Estes hangs a goose egg for the top of the first inning, and now the Lansing Lugnuts are coming up. Led off by Gabriel Maciel, the leadoff man, the right fielder, switch hitter. Followed to the plate by shortstop Eurybio Angeles hitting second. Batting third, second baseman Brett Harris. The cleanup hitting, first baseman Tyler Soderstrom next. And batting fifth, third baseman Jack Winkler. Lázaro Armenteros bat sixth and DHs. Batting seventh, catcher Matt Cross. Hitting eighth and left field, Johnny Butler. And batting ninth in center field, it's Brian Buelbas. They'll take on the left-hander, Robert Gasser. And Adam will have more. But first, Maciel is about to step in. And we just saw the penalty charged as the pitch clock ran out. And now here's the pitch from Gasser. First offering is swatted up in the air, foul ground, first base side. Jack Stronach has the catch. And just like that, Maciel is retired. And that brings us to Adam.
Yes, sir. Second round selection, 71st overall in 2021 out of Houston. Fastball, slider, and changeup out of El Dorado Hills, California. He got better after his first start where he allowed 3 runs and 4 walks. No walks, 9 strikeouts against South Bend the last time out.
Gasser deals to Eurybio Angeles, batting right, no score. He takes inside ball one. Fort Wayne's defense, meanwhile, the catcher is Anthony Villar. The native of Miguel at short, Lopez is at third. Outfield in a moment, a 1-0. Fly ball pounded to right center. Let's talk about Robert Hassel III. The center fielder flagging it down. Has it go off his glove and away from him. Angeles flies around second, heads for third, and slides in feet first without a throw. We saw Robert Hassel III make a tremendous running catch yesterday deep into the gap, out and away to right center. This one, he got his glove on it. He couldn't secure it. And Angeles gets 3 bases.
Only the second triple of the season. Johnny Butler had the first one. And Angeles roped that out there. And he went flying around the bases. Excellent swing. The Lugnuts a chance to get on the board first.
So anyway, Adam, Hassel is in center. Rocher's in left. Mears is in right. You ready? Here's Brett Harris. The pitch. That's down and in. Ball one. Chance for the Lansing Lugnuts to score first, and that cannot be undersold how important it is for the Lugnuts to score first in games. A 1-0. Harris grounds it right back to the pitcher. A look to third, a throw to first for the out as Angeles dove back into third base. Harris has gone 1-3 on the reflexes by the Houston Cougar, Robert Gasser.
Oh, that's excellently done by Gasser. Was ready to go to third and lead in, taking a step towards Angeles because he thought he was coming down the line, realized he wasn't going to get him back at third, and then calmly turned around and threw it over to first. Basically, an extra look back and then throw on after a great snatch.
So it's up to Tyler Soderstrom. 2 outs, runner at third base, no score. Lefty throws to lefty. Soderstrom takes a called strike at the letters with the fastball. Well, that fastball is coming in hot. Soderstrom yesterday had a base hit to left field. He officially was 1-for-4. The pitch, that's a breaking ball outside. Count is evened up, 1-1. The first rounder for the Oakland, 1 overall prospect in their organization, primarily for his bat. The pitch, fouled straight backward. And then rebounds right back to the legs of the catcher, Villar. Bet she couldn't try to do that again. Anthony Villar was in his catcher's crouch, facing the pitcher. And the baseball ricocheted hard off that concrete backstop. And it went right back through 5-hole. Soderstrom is looking for his second RBI of the year. The pitch to him. Breaking ball called, strike 3, not caught by Villar, picks it up, applies the tag. Soderstrom thinks that it was outside. Home plate umpire Juska says enough is enough, and Robert Gasser has a scoreless bottom of the first inning, working around the triple by Eurybio Angeles. We go to the second, still scoreless, Lugnuts and Tin Caps from Jackson Field.
My folks are out of town this weekend. I raided their medicine cabinet and got a bunch of good stuff.
Did you get any Vicodin? I need my fix.
Yeah, right here. There's more where that came from, too.
Drug abuse could be right around the corner. You can help. That passing comment could be a clue.
My folks are out of town again this weekend. Farm party at my house?
Speak up. If you see or hear something that doesn't seem right, contact OK to Say.
Hey, Brian, come here for a sec.
What's up?
You know that loser in our class? I heard he crossed out people's pictures in his yearbook. Creepy, right?
Yeah, I heard him say everyone is against him and they'll be sorry.
Violence could be right around the corner. That passing comment could be a warning sign.
And I thought I saw a gun in his backpack.
Speak up. If you see or hear something that doesn't seem right, contact OK to Say.
You're listening to Lansing Lugnuts Baseball, High A affiliate of the Oakland Athletics. Now, let's head back to the ballpark. Alongside Adam Jaxa, here's Jesse Goldberg-Strassler.
It was an interesting first inning. The Fort Wayne Tin Caps put a runner on with one out, had runners at first and second with two gone, could not score against Joey Estes. And on the other side, the Lansing Lugnuts watched Eribio Angeles triple with one out, but he was stranded at third base. And so this game still looks for its first run. Going to the second inning. The right-hander Estes will take on the Fort Wayne Tin Cap 6-7-8 batters, Lopez, Stronach, and Villar. First up, here's Justin Lopez, switch hitter batting left. First offering's a changeup, swung at and missed. Strike one. Wicked. Lopez comes in hitting 231, 6 for 26. Swings and misses the high cheddar. No balls and two strikes. Estes whiffed two in the first inning and is looking for his third of the game here. Deals. Oh, tried to run that two-seam fastball back to the inside corner. Could not get the call. He was already going into a strikeout. Strut at him. 1-2 is the count. Signaled by Cross. He agrees. He deals. Line foul back to the screen. Justin Lopez has whiffed six times. He has walked three times. He has two doubles, a triple, and a home run. He's got power. The pitch to the third baseman. That's tapped foul at home plate. A changeup away. And we remain one ball and two strikes. No score on the top of the second. Game two of a six-game series. Estes delivers. Popped up, foul, left side, and out of play, with third baseman Winkler giving it a look.
Well, the Lugnuts have the first hit of the game, Jesse, but it's been Fort Wayne that has worked many more pitches against Estes. Another count that's extending on.
Here's the pitch. Line drive pushed to left field. Butler comes in. He's got it. A line out to left by Lopez. One down on the top of the second. About that, about the Lugnuts having the game's only hit, Adam. Back in the first inning, the assumption that Robert Hassel III had reached on an infield single, but instead that has been changed to an error on the Lansing Lugnuts first baseman. Max Stronach swats the first pitch he sees, out of play to the left, and strike one. Estes gets out in front of another batter. 0-0, top of the second, one out, nobody on. He fires. Foul tipped into the mid of catcher Cross. No balls and two strikes. It is unusual to hear about the Lugnuts getting charged with an error. The windup, the 0-2. Slider down and in. Taken for ball one. Jack Stronach, the former UCLA Bruin, has opened up this year hitting 214. Line drive, left field, in comes Butler. Carbon copy. He's got another. And there's two down. Looked like the exact same line drive he just cut from Justin Lopez.
Very consistent for the Tin Caps to start this second inning.
Johnny Butler is looking into Joey Estes as if to say, thanks for keeping me busy out here.
Give him one more.
It's Anthony Villar who will step in. Villar is a left-handed batter. And here's the pitch. Slider in. It was Lopez batting first, the switch hitter from the left side. Outer half fastball, swatted right to Butler. Stronach from the left side, same thing. Now Villar takes on the inside corner. Strike one called on the Estes slider. Anthony Villar is getting his third game of the year. He is 2-for-6. The pitch, slider down. Two balls and one strike. Two outs, nobody on, no score on the second. Estes looks for a 1-2-3 frame. Fires, up and away. See, that would have been a perfect pitch to line out to left field.
What's he doing?
Not cooperating. Three balls and a strike. Estes rocks, brings it. That's hit foul, off to our left side, up into the sweet level, and then bounding down into the green seats below. Three balls and two strikes.
What was that count?
That's three balls and two strikes. This is for foul.
Oh, and another foul ball.
This is the first 3-2 count for Estes here in the second inning. He went to 3-2 three times in the first. So this will be his 40th pitch to try to complete the second inning. Line drive pushed down the left side. Into the corner, Butler. It's a fair ball, and that ball's ricocheting around near the base of the wall. Johnny Butler gets it in. Villar stops at second with a double. It is his first extra base hit of the year, and he goes oppo to get it.
All three at-bats going the opposite way. That one gets down. A little bit more air under it, and obviously a little bit more out of the reach of Johnny Butler, while the other two came right at him. Good swing to the left side of the field.
Here's another guy from the left side. It's Ripken Reyes, a switch hitter. The second baseman batting ninth. Bats from a crouch. Estes fires. Fastball is ripped to right field. Hey, get Maciel involved. He makes the grab, and that'll do it. There were three lineouts around the two-out double by Villar, who was stranded at second. And Joey Estes' third two scoreless. They're 1.5. Neither squad has scored, neither the Lansing Lugnuts nor the Fort Wayne Tin Caps from Lansing, Michigan.
Do you worry about how much someone drinks?
Do you feel angry or depressed most of the time? Do you feel neglected or unloved?
Do you feel you attract people who tend to be compulsive or abusive?
Do you have money problems because of someone else's drinking?
Are you afraid or embarrassed to bring your friends home?
Do you feel that if the drinker loved you, she or he would stop drinking?
If you answered yes to any of these questions, you are not alone.
More than half of all adults have a family history of alcoholism.
Not everyone trapped by alcohol is an alcoholic.
Families and friends are suffering too.
Al-Anon and Alateen can help.
Call 1-866-200-0223 or visit alanon.org/help.
This is Ken Korak, radio broadcaster for the Oakland Athletics. You're listening to Lansing Lugnuts Baseball. Now let's get back to the ball.
Nothing to nothing. The Lugnuts hosting the Fort Wayne Tin Caps. Only about 2 hours plus some change to drive up north to Lansing from the Summit City. The Tin Caps left-hander Robert Gasser will face Winkler, Armenteros, and Cross. 5-6-7 for the bottom of the second. I'm Jesse Goldberg-Strassler, accompanied by Adam Jaxa. The 6-1 Robert Gasser out of El Dorado Hills, California, deals to the native of Littleton, Colorado, Jack Winkler. Fastball called a strike on the inside corner. Lefty on the hill, right-handed batter. Winkler is one of the Lugnuts' two home runs this year. Pitch on its way. A breaking ball across the outside corner. Nothing and two. Winkler through seven games has four hits plus five walks. He's been discerning. The deal. Changeup low. One ball, two strikes. In the first inning, Gasser struck out Tyler Soderstrom looking to strand Arribia Angeles at third base following Angeles' triple. And Gasser right now, his velocity is about 93 on the gun. 1-2 pitch. That's high and away. And taken for ball two. If you're going to try to tempt Jack Winkler, you've got to get it a little bit closer than that. From the third base out of the rubber, the pitch from Gasser. That is shot up the middle, back of second base, backhanded by Reyes, the second baseman. Goes to first for the out. Ripken Reyes was in the right vicinity, with Winkler taking that ball right up through the middle of the field. One up and one down.
No full shifts allowed here at the high A level, but small shifts, as long as you still have two guys on each side of first and second and two on the side of third and short. But there, Ray is doing everything he can, basically up the middle, but still slightly shaded.
Lasso Armenteros is the batter. Wetnick one. Sometimes you take the day shift, sometimes the night shift, sometimes the graveyard shift.
Sometimes the shift behind second.
That's right. And that's where Reyes is playing Armenteros, right-handed batter. No score, one out. The pitch up high and outside. One ball, one strike, and one of the Lugnuts' most effective hitters this year. Through four games, Lazaro's four hits, a double, a home run, and a couple of walks. Here's the pitch from Gasser. And that breaks right through the heart of the zone, called strike two.
I was about to say, Jesse, you know what beats the shift?
A home run.
Yeah.
Armenteros, we've seen a lot of his power to the opposite field. Gasser's 1-2. That's upstairs. Cat is evened up. Two balls and two strikes. Tried to break in another breaking ball. Matt Cross is waiting on deck. Gasser has the sign. Steps back. A right leg kick in the toss. Fastball off the hands, line up the middle. Reyes coming in, has it short hop off his body. He can't collect. Armenteros is on. Bounces right to the pitcher Gasser off the mound. It is an infield single for Armenteros. Sometimes you hit it out of the ballpark, and sometimes you hit a humpback line drive at him that just went in the wrong spot for that infield to defend.
A humpback line drive in the infield. My goodness. He had the right spot picked out, but Reyes was a little bit too deep.
Armenteros is a threat to run. No steals as of yet this year. The pitch to Matt Cross. Fastball's wide. Once again, a right-handed batter against the lefty. Like we talked about, all of those hitters from the left side against the Lugnuts' right-handed starter Estes. A lot of Lugnuts from the right against the lefty Gasser. Scoreless in the second. The pitch, a ground ball hit toward short. This could be two. Dale feeds Reyes one over to first. It is a double play. 6-4-3. And that'll do it for the bottom of the second inning. Wipe out the Armenteros single. Nobody left on as we go to the third, scoreless. Adam Jacks to Jackson Field.
Student safety affects us all, and you can make a difference using OK to Say.
Did you know that in 81% of violent incidents in U.S. schools, at least one other person had information that a school attack was planned but failed to report it?
How many lives could have been saved if just one person had said something?
OK to Say can change that. OK to Say is an easy and confidential way for Michigan students to report anything that threatens their safety or the safety of others.
If you see or hear something that doesn't seem right, you can submit a confidential tip using the OK to Say mobile app.
Or you can submit by text, email, the OK to Say website, or call 8555-OK-TO-SAY.
The tip information is confidential, so you never have to worry about retaliation, rejection, or being labeled a snitch. It's that easy.
You might be the one person who helps to prevent a tragedy.
Take a stand and protect yourself and others by using OK to Say, because if you won't, who will?
Hi, I'm Nick Bertoia. I'm the corporate sales manager here with the Lansing Lugnuts. If you're a business looking to plan a fun outing to reward employees, treat clients, and build team morale, give me a call at 517-827-2598 to talk more about our great group venues. Now back to Lugnuts Baseball. Go Nuts.
You're listening to Lansing Lugnuts Baseball, High A affiliate of the Oakland Athletics. Now, let's head back to the ballpark. Alongside Jesse Goldberg-Strassler, here's Adam Jackson.
All right, we're ready to rock and roll for the top of the third. It's the Lugnuts and the Tin Caps on a 50-degree evening on this Wednesday, April 20th, 2022. Joey Estes, the righty, back out, and his first pitch is up high, ball one. Back to the top of the card, Corey Rozier, Robert Hassel III, and Joshua Mears. The three in red tops tonight with the gray pants. The pitch jams up Rozier inside as he pulls the bunt back, and it's two balls and no strikes. One of two strikeouts tonight for Joey Estes. Pitch three. Flies low and inside, and he's in danger of walking his second batter. Behind three balls, no strikes. He got behind Valenzuela, 3-1. The pitch, that is ball four. So four straight balls to start this third inning. And although Estes has been efficient through two, curious to see how he keeps doing as that pitch count is climbing now towards 50. He's had to expend a lot of effort to get through the lineup one time around, and here they come for a second time. First pitch whipped out to left field, backing up his Butler towards the track, reaches above his head and makes the catch as he skips back. One down. That's another ball that's hit out to left field, and that's now four of the last five batters that have put it in play have hit it out to Butler, and all have been hitting from the left side of the plate.
Let me add to Adam, this is hard contact. Now it's outs, but Robert Hassel III put a charge into that one.
Valenzuela, or check that, Josh Mears steps in. Valenzuela waits on deck. Fastball grips the outside corner. Second pitch from Estes. Swing and that's ripped. Deep to left field. Up and gone. You can forget about it. Off the video board. And it is a rousing 2-0 lead for the Tin Caps on that swing from Joshua Mears.
Goodness gracious. Was that off the Chevrolet ad?
I think so. Which, if you climb up the video board and look at the dimensions, that's a good, what, 10 to 15 feet at least?
He hit one yesterday that I think got out over Cedar Street. So this one he didn't catch all of. No, he just missed that home run.
Second home run in 2 days, as Jesse just told you, for Mears. Brandon Valenzuela fouls it back. Couldn't do, and that was get some loft on the pitches from Estes to the left side of the field, although he did it from the right side of the plate. 0-1. This is smacked out to left field, running towards the line. Butler running out of room, and it hits off of the foul wall. And we will do it again. That view escapes us as we get to the corner. Things tighten up, and those 25-foot walls blocked from us seeing where that ball landed, but it hit off the tall green wall to the left of the line. That's all that matters on that pitch. It's no balls and two strikes, but again, some big swings from the Tin Caps at the bottom of the order the first time around, and now the second time around at the top. 2-0 thanks to that shot from Mears. Estes' pitch. In there, called strike three. Comes right back, 91 on the gun. And a knee-high fastball that Valenzuela can't believe was called strike three for the second out.
Sometimes pitchers change whether they go inside or outside. That's the case, Adam, of Joey Estes going north then south. He changed the eye level of Valenzuela, and he spotted that one up at the knees perfectly.
Third strikeout, Jared Dale. Swing and a miss as the train passes through downtown Lansing. Fort Wayne again yielding Lansing from scoring first. The pitch in there called strike two. That's what we've started to talk about being a trend for the Lugnuts here in 2022. Getting behind early and a lot of these games not able to catch up. The pitch in there called strike three. Well, that's a great way to bounce back for Estes. Gives up the bomb and then gets back-to-back looking strikeouts to the four and five hitters. He's got four punchouts. We will move to the third. Tin Caps up 2-0.
Over the years, you've brought them into your home. You were prescribed opioids after the C-section, when Dad injured his back, when your basketball star tore his ACL. Opioids helped with the pain. But did you know holding on to unused opioids puts your family at risk? Opioids are powerful pain-reducing prescription medicines. But most people who are prescribed opioids don't finish their prescriptions. So millions of unused opioids are sitting in homes across the country. And tragically, more than 100 Americans die every day from overdoses involving opioids. What can you do to protect your family? Remove the risk of unused opioids from your home. Pills, patches, or syrups in drawers, purses, and cabinets. Anywhere they might be hiding. To find out how to dispose of them properly, visit www.fda.gov/drug disposal.
You're listening to Lansing Lugnuts Baseball, High A affiliate of the Oakland Athletics. Now, let's head back to the ballpark. Alongside Jesse Goldberg-Strassler, here's Adam Jackson.
It's a dog days of summer and a long day so far for the Lugnuts thanks to a two-run shot coming off the bat of Joshua Mears. Lansing's offense needing to get going, down 2-0. Let's see if Johnny Butler can get things started. 8-9-1 due up as Lansing still makes it through the order for the first time against Robert Gasser, the lefty. 22-year-old works from the left side of the rubber. The pitch, cue shot foul just in front of the dugout down the third base side. It is tolerable today. It was chilly yesterday, around 43 degrees at first pitch. We start about an hour later tonight because of a rain delay, and it's 7 degrees warmer, sitting right at 50. The pitch, bunt bounced foul. No balls, two strikes.
You know how he took advantage of that better weather earlier today? He held the team photograph of the Lansing Lugnuts.
I saw that. If you don't, make sure you follow Lansing Lugnuts on Instagram. Check out the story. They've got a great shot of the team photo out in the outfield. 0-2. Swing and a miss. 81 miles an hour from Robert Gasser. Second strikeout, and both he's used that pitch.
Feel like Johnny Butler recognized that the breaking ball was coming, too. He identified it, and he still couldn't find it. He was trying to wait on it and then pull the trigger, and no, sir.
It's the slider that Gasser is using, and it got Tyler Soderstrom looking in the first inning, his two strikeouts. Here's Brian Buelvas. The pitch goes fastball away at 93. One ball, no strikes. Gasser, the compensatory pick, 71st overall in the second round last year. Next offering, sliced down the line, fair, and it's skipping towards the wall. Buelvas is rounding first. He is hustling to second. Mears picks it up out there, and Buelvas easily glides in for a two-bagger with one out in the third.
Adam, you and I have been watching the Fort Wayne Tin Caps for a little while now. Brian Buelvas feels like the player that the Fort Wayne Tin Caps, when they were in single A, stocked up with all the time. He's young, he's talented, just trying to be consistent. That's a beautiful swing, and then he turned on the speed.
Team leading third triple the time with Brett Harris, and Buelvas does a great job of turning the card over for Gabriel Maciel. 2-0, Fort Wayne in the bottom of the third. And a little bit too much time for Robert Gasser there. Maybe perhaps thinking about that double that was just clubbed by Buelvas. So a ball issued for the penalty. Second pitch. And Maciel bunts it down the third base side. Bare hand by Lopez. Throws it wide at first. Everyone's safe. Buelvas took a wide turn at third but gets back to the bag. It'll be an infield bunt single. And back-to-back hits, and the Lugnuts have started a little rally in the third.
Something I appreciate about Maciel is just how decisive he is. He came up, he knows the situation, and he sees where Lopez is at third base, so he put that ball right down the line and challenged Lopez to make the play. A very difficult play it would have been. The Lugnuts have benefited so much from having his experience at the top of the order, setting an experience of Buelvas.
In steps, Angeles. First pitch, snagged by the pitcher. Gasser throws back to second. Relay to first in time, and it ends this third inning. What a gutsy move by Gasser. He was facing home plate, could have come to the plate with a play. Instead, turns two to get out of the jam and keep the Lugnuts off the board. A 1-4-3 double play, and we will move to the fourth. 2-0, Tin Caps.
What makes essential workers essential?
We build safe roads for you to drive on.
We harvest fresh produce for your families to eat.
We help you heal when you're sick.
We get you where you need to go.
We keep where you work and live clean and safe.
We make sure you get what you need to make your household work.
You're the essential workers who help our nation run. You're in every city, town, and corner of our country, and you come from all over the globe. And you have essential protections under the law. I'm Marty Walsh. The Wage and Hour Division at the Department of Labor helps ensure you receive the essential protections you deserve. If you have questions about your pay or about your job protection during an illness, visit our website or call 866-4-US-WAGE. That's 866-487-9243. We can provide help in more than 200 languages.
Brought to you by the United States Department of Labor.
Hi, this is Vince Catronio, radio broadcaster for the Oakland Athletics. You're listening to Lansing Lugnuts Baseball. Now let's get back to the ballpark.
Well, here at the ballpark in Lansing at Jackson Field, it is 2-0, Fort Wayne leading as we come to the top of the fourth. A two-run mammoth shot from Joshua Mears off the right side of the video board. In left is the difference. Back out comes Joey Estes, 55 pitches on the night, 37 for strikes. Red glove in his left hand, and the pitch is inside, ball one. Tans matches his red cap for the Lansing Lugnuts. Second pitch, swing and a miss. Good off speed at 82 on Lopez. Jack Stronach and Anthony Villar, the next two that'll come up. The pitch, deep out to center field, backing up Huelva. Still going, and it's over his head as he misread it. Bounces off the wall and quickly gets it in. Oh, he was casually running back. Didn't expect that ball to take off like it did, and he just didn't see it. And the pop that it came on the strength from Lopez. And Huelvas has had some issues in center the last couple of nights.
Just to go back to that swing. So the pitcher Estes just got the swing and the miss at the changeup at him. And then he tried to go to the same spot with a fastball, but Lopez was ready for it.
Another hard hit line drive from these tin caps. Now Jack Stronach in from the left side. And the pitch glides in on the outer half. Strike one.
That's a backdoor slider. This is becoming a chess match. Estes and the catcher cross, trying to keep Fort Wayne guessing. Because when they're guessing right, the baseball is getting hit hard.
2-0, tin caps in the fourth. Swing and a miss. Went with the 89-mile-an-hour fastball, knee high, and got it by him. Stronach lined one out hard over to left to Johnny Butler. A string of three straight lineouts mixed in between a double in the second. All parts of the order hitting it hard tonight. The pitch home. Swing and a foul tip into the glove of Matt Cross. No balls, two strikes. Or strike three, I apologize.
That's pitching backward. Show him the slider to start him to get out in front, and then back-to-back heaters.
So three straight strikes and comes back. That's something that Estes has done well. He's 2 of 3 hits tonight. He's come back with a strikeout in the next at bat. Here's Anthony Villar. Shows bunt. Pitch drops low and in. Ball one.
It really is amazing. He struck out five. He's allowed those hits, the four hits to Fort Wayne. But the hits are two doubles on the home run. And we've also seen some hard lineouts. So it's either swings and misses or very hard contact.
The pitch. There's another swing and a miss. He did similar things in his first outing against West Michigan, where he gave up 6 hits and 3 runs, but racked up 5 strikeouts. The pitch, that's down low, and it scoots through the glove of Cross and gets to the backstop. Over to third moves Justin Lopez.
We talk about changeups being filthy, and that usually is a good thing for a pitcher. It helps them take care of a batter. That time, Cross couldn't find that changeup. But I want to go back. You mentioned how Estes looked his last time out. Think about the very first time that we saw him against the Michigan State Spartans. Struck out 5 in 4 innings, but Peter Ahn homered against him. Ahn, who had not homered all year for MSU.
Infield drawn in. The pitch popped up. Infield. Shallow. Huelvas now backs up a couple steps, moves to his right, makes the catch, guns it in, and Soderstrom doesn't take the cutoff. It's offline to the right and late, and it's a sack fly from Villar to make it 3-0, Fort Wayne.
Tin Caps are playing good baseball.
They're doing the little things right. Playing good defense, getting extra base hits and batting them in. First pitch in there, strike one, and they're pitching it well against the Lugnuts. Started this season struggling, 3-7 to open the year, now staring in the face a 3-0 deficit in their 11th game. The pitch popped up, jammed him in on the hands, but still sent a mile in the air. Puelvis backs up in center, still going back, and still finally makes the catch as that wind carrying it gusts up around 20 miles an hour again tonight. And that will do it for the fourth inning. Two grabs by Puelvis to end opportunity, which turned into a Justin Lopez double. He eventually moves in and becomes the third run. Bottom four coming up. Lugnuts trail by 3.
I found hope in the midst of an overwhelming situation.
I let go of trying to control things that I had no control over, and that helped me find peace of mind.
Alcoholism is a disease that can affect any family. Everyone suffers, but there is help and hope at Al-Anon Family Groups.
I was constantly stressed and worried. Now I approach each day with joy and gratitude.
In Al-Anon, families and friends of alcoholics find new ways to heal from the effects of a loved one's drinking.
Al-Anon gave me my life back. I'm a better father and husband.
Are you in an overwhelming situation because of someone else's drinking?
Al-Anon and Alateen can help.
Local and virtual meetings are available. Maybe one could work for you. For information, call 1-866-200-0033 or visit alanon.org/hope.
This is Ken Korak, radio broadcaster for the Oakland Athletics. You're listening to Lansing Lugnuts Baseball. Now let's get back to the ballpark.
Well, it is all tin caps so far at Jackson Field as we enter the bottom of the fourth inning. 3-0 they lead thanks to a two-run shot in the third and then a sac fly in the fourth. This Lugnuts offense got to get going, but Robert Gasser has silenced them with only, well, 4 hits so far, but haven't been able to produce any runs. They had a triple in the first, a double in that last half inning, and then 2 singles, one via the bunt. But an inning-ending double play withdrew their chances last half inning. His first pitch to Brett Harris, a little bit inside, ball one. Gasser, the second rounder, 22 years old, 6'1", 190-pounder. Showcase that slider, change, and fastball tonight. Sweeps in low, 2 balls and no strikes. We mentioned Gasser out of Oak Ridge High School in El Dorado Hills, California. He had quite the path collegiately. Didn't take that one direct path to get to professional ball. Next pitch drops inside and low, and Harris is all of a sudden ahead 3-0. Gasser started at New Mexico in 2018, and his ERA was up over 7 in 11 appearances before transferring to Delta College. The pitch, there's a fastball that comes in, 3-1. And Delta College, right next to the Coliseum in Oakland over in Stockton, California. It's a junior college. The pitch, swing and a bouncer. Harris fouls off, 3 balls, 2 strikes. He was excellent at Delta, was Gasser, going 14-0. ERA was sub-2s in 17 starts and went on to become the 2019 National JUCO Pitcher of the Year. So how do you parlay a great JUCO year? Try and get another D1 offer and move up. The 3-2 inside and high as it spins back. Harris out of the way. And that is ball 4, the first walk given up by the former JUCO Pitcher of the Year. After doing that in 2019, he went to Houston in 2020. And he struggled again. ERA was up over 11 in 4 appearances. But then he bounced back again for the Cougars with a sub-2 ERA in 2021. The pitch home. Soderstrom takes the slider for strike one. So you talk about a guy that had to battle some adversity, up and down, riding the wave collegiately, and to parlay that into a second-round draft pick last year. The pitch. That's down low and inside. 1 ball, 1 strike. And that second-rounder only has pitched well today, around 4 hits, but he has fielded his position really well against the Lugnuts with a couple of great pitches. Throws over and tries to pick off Harris, who steps back in with the left foot on base number one. 3-0 our score. We're in the bottom of the fourth. Lugnuts trailing the Tin Caps in game two of six this week in Lansing. The pitch. Slider again is in there. Strike two. Boy, he is saving all these off-speed sliders for Tyler Soderstrom. Number one prospect in the Oakland Athletics organization, trying to get going, batting just .147 to start the year. 1-2. Swing and a miss. He went three sliders for strikes in that at bat, and it's the second K for Tyler Soderstrom. My goodness. Three strikeouts now for Gasser, and two coming against Soderstrom. That's the first out of the fourth inning, and Jack Winkler steps in. Lansing has had traffic on the bases in all four half innings, but haven't been able to produce a run. The pitch. Swing and a miss. Throw back to first. Harris slides in safely with that right arm behind the back of Stronach. No balls, one strike on Winkler. 3-0 score. Tin Caps in front. Two-run bomb in the third. Sack fly in the top half of this inning in the fourth. Just about an hour into tonight's game. The pitch from the lefty. Swing and a miss from Winkler. 0-2. Jack grounded out to Ripken Reyes at second base in his first at bat. Swinging in the five spot tonight. Winkler with one of the two home runs this year for Lansing. Big swing in West Michigan last week. The pitch. That jumps inside. Had to straighten himself up there as it came in towards the wrists. 1-2. Talked to Jack last night. He said that home run felt really good. Got all of it and even impressed himself with how well it was struck. 1-2. Popped up. Left side of the infield. This one never hit. And Dale positions himself under that one for the second out. So that'll leave it up to Lázaro Armenteros, the other man with a home run in West Michigan. Lansing consistently has gotten at least one batter on in each half inning, a triple in the first, single in the second, both a double and a single in the third, and the walk to Brett Harris as he's at first with two outs. The pitch home. Slider bends in, strike one. Well, you look at the toolkit with the fastball, the slider, and the changeup. That slider jumps off the page at me. He's got excellent command, does Robert Gasser. That breaking ball. Next pitch, low, and it gets away from Villar, and this will allow Harris to scoot up to second. Passed ball. And once again, the Lugnuts with a runner in scoring position. Armenteros, in the meantime, continues to dazzle. Five hits in 14 at-bats. And a single in his first at-bat in the second. Runner at second with two outs. The offering. Off the end of the bat, foul. 1-2. Armenteros digs back in from the right side. 11 in red on the back of his Lugnuts uniform. The Cuban native trying to deliver with two outs, something the Lugnuts have done well this year. Scoring runs with two outs. They need one here, down by three. Gasser set, and the pitch. Slider bends in and a little bit too far. 2-2. That is a tough take from Lázaro Armenteros. Harris, a sizable lead at second. He's watched by the second baseman, Reyes. The 2-2. Ball, and that is going to do it for the Lugnuts. A fourth strikeout for Gasser. And we are through four innings. 3-0 lead for Fort Wayne as the Lugnuts strand another runner, this one at second. Jesse Goldberg-Strassler back with the play-by-play to start the fifth after this.
Student safety affects us all, and you can make a difference using OK to Say.
Did you know that in 81% of violent incidents in U.S. schools, at least one other person had information that a school attack was planned but failed to report it?
How many lives could have been saved if just one person had said something?
Okay to Say can change that. Okay to Say is an easy and confidential way for Michigan students to report anything that threatens their safety or the safety of others.
If you see or hear something that doesn't seem right, you can submit a confidential tip using the Okay to Say mobile app.
Or you can submit by text, email, the Okay to Say website, or call 8555-OK-TO-SAY.
The tip information is confidential, so you never have to worry about retaliation, rejection, or being labeled a snitch. It's that easy.
You might be the one person who helps to prevent a tragedy.
Take a stand and protect yourself and others by using Okay to Say. Because if you won't, who will?
You're listening to Lansing Lugnuts Baseball, High A affiliate of the Oakland Athletics. Now, let's head back to the ballpark. Alongside Adam Jaxa, here's Jesse Goldberg-Strassler.
As we move to the fifth, it is 3-0 Fort Wayne leading in Lansing. The Tin Cap scoring two in the third and then one more in the fourth. In the third inning, a two-run homer hit by Joshua Mears that brought in Corey Rocher. And as we open up this fifth inning, we will see Rocher, Robert Hassel the third, and then Mears, 1, 2, and 3 in the order, taking on the Lansing Lugnuts right-hander, Joey Estes. Adam Jackson's by my side. I'm Jesse Goldberg-Strassler. Estes winds and throws to Rocher. Corner, strike one called with the changeup. Rocher struck out in the 3-2 pitch in the first inning, then a 4-pitch walk in the third, and a 1. Popped up, foul back our way, and here comes, just to the left of our camera operator in the high home position. No balls and two strikes on Rocher. Estes rocks and throws. That too is fouled off. This one's into the netting. Corey Rocher acquired via trade by the San Diego Padres. He was a Modesto nut last year. 0-2. Skied in the left. Johnny Butler comes in. Now sidling left. Butler's got the catch with center fielder Brabus on looking. One down. You've got Rocher, who is a Seattle Mariners prospect, acquired by the Padres. Dispatched by the former Braves prospect, Joey Estes, acquired by the Oakland Athletics. And now here's Robert Hassel III, the Fort Wayne center fielder. Takes the first offering up. Ball one. In the Lansing Lugnuts bullpen, there is action. The pitch. That breaks in there for a called strike. Kumar Nambiar, the left-hander, warms up. One out with the bases clear. 3-0 Caps leading and batting in the fifth. As Estes offers. That runs away from the outside corner. And he's behind Hassel III. Two balls and one strike. Robert Hassel III has something in common with another Lugnuts starting pitcher. 2-1. Chopper hit right of the mound to his right. Second baseman Harris giving a slide. He came up with it, and then he lost his footing. His spikes caught. He loses the baseball. And Robert Hassel III is on with an infield single. Bad luck for Brett Harris. One out base.
You ever seen the meme, Bad Luck Brian?
Yes.
Bad Luck Brett.
That's right. Here's Joshua Mears, who has been bad news for baseballs. 1-for-2, 2-run homer. Hits the first pitch high in the air to left. Into the corner. Butler watches. Guess what? It's another 2-run homer. Mears hits his third home run in two games. He takes Estes Yard out to left. A 2-run shot for the second straight at bat. 5-0 Fort Wayne in the fifth inning.
This guy's on something right now. My goodness, he's never going to want to leave Lansing.
Five home runs now in 2022 for Joshua Mears. He just hit it so high, Adam. Johnny Butler was left like the rest of us, just playing spectator. Here's Brandon Valenzuela. Swings and misses the first pitch, strike one. One out, nobody on. Estes to the plate. Hit in the air to left field, and this time a chance for Butler. Backs up, still backing up. Windu's playing tricks, but he stayed with it and makes the catch. And there's two outs. I was talking about the connection between Robert Hassel III and the Lansing Lugnuts starting pitcher Grant Holman. And that is, they played in the same Little League World Series. Holman was a Californian. Robert Hassel III playing for Tennessee's Little League squad. With that, the native Californian Joey Estes is out of the game. He retires Brandon Valenzuela, the native of Hermosillo, Mexico, for the second out of the top of the fifth. And now Estes is out himself. He went 4 1/3 innings in his first appearance against West Michigan. He goes 4 2/3 in his second start against Fort Wayne. The Whitecaps and the Tin Caps, and this caps off his outing with Kumar Nambiar coming on.
Do you think we could or should rename Home Run Hill to Joshua Mears Hill, since he's king of the hill?
We still have four more games to go in this series. There was a Great Lakes Loons, and it felt like he homered every single at-bat he played here, too.
Yeah, he had quite the run a few years ago. Man, oh, man.
Remember, Parker Meadows just homered a couple of times in the series that the Lugnuts played against West Michigan. But Joshua Mears, yesterday, two doubles and a home run. And today, two dingers. We'll talk about the new lefty, Kumar Nambiar, in just a second. I found Nico Holsizer, by the way. He's a Montgomery Biscuit and a Durham Bull this year, playing in Tampa Bay's organization. And Holsizer is one home run that he's hit for Durham. He's he's 3-for-14 through his first five games with Durham, after he was 3-for-8 with Montgomery. Good luck to you, Nico Holsizer. Hey, here's more on Kumar Nambiar from Adam Jackson.
All right, Jesse, the 24-year-old out of Larchmont, New York. And he has made a few appearances for the Lugnuts this year, giving up a couple of hits, couple runs, couple walks. Does have three strikeouts in six innings of work. We saw him three different times in West Michigan last week.
We had talked about the pitch count getting elevated for Joey Estes as his early innings were going on, especially all of the full counts. He exits because of pitch count, 78 pitches, 55 through strikes. He allows five hits and five runs, and he struck out five. He ends up walking two. Nambiar in, two outs, nobody on. Throws up high, ball one to Jared Dale, the Australian batting right. 5-0 Fort Wayne, top of the fifth. Interesting, too. You go from number 13 Estes to number 14 Nambiar. Fly ball down the right side into foul ground. The first baseman Soderstrom reaches it and catches up to it and catches it just as he reaches the Lugnuts pen. Nambiar records the final out of the top of the fifth. Adam, you want to do some trivia in the home half?
Let's do it.
Let's go to the bottom of the fifth inning, halfway to the house. A two-run homer by Joshua Mears. And it's now 5-0 Fort Wayne leading in Lansing.
A friend told me she was being one. She told me no and said that if I ever told anyone, I would lose her as a friend. I can't lose her friendship, but I was scared that if I said nothing, I would lose her to the abuse. I made a decision to submit a tip to OK to Say. I took the risk of losing my friend, but helping keep her safe was more important in the long run. If you know someone who's being abused and you want to talk but you're scared, that's okay. You can text OK to Say. That's 652729. All tipsters' identities are confidential.
Student safety affects us all, and you can make a difference using OK to Say.
OK to Say is an easy and confidential way for Michigan students to report anything that threatens their safety or the safety of others.
If you see or hear something that doesn't seem right, you can submit a confidential tip using the OK to Say mobile app.
Or you can submit by text, email, the OK to Say website, or call 8555-OK-TO-SAY.
Protect yourself and others by using OK to Say, because if you won't, who will?
This is Ken Korak, radio broadcaster for the Oakland Athletics. You're listening to Lansing Lugnuts Baseball. Now let's get back to the ballpark.
On one side, you've got Joshua Mears just launching fireworks off into the night, a couple of two-run homers. And then on the other side, Robert Gasser is having a gas, four scoreless innings for Fort Wayne. Tin Caps bring a 5-0 lead to the bottom of the fifth. I'm Jesse Goldberg-Strassler with Adam Jaxa. The Lansing Lugnuts bring up Matt Cross, followed by Butler and Broas, 7-8-9. First pitch to Cross, a check swing bouncer beyond the pitcher Gasser. In comes second baseman Reyes, quick transfer, flying to first, got him. And Cross is gone on one pitch. Hustling down the line to try to beat it out, but that is a nifty play by second baseman Ripken Reyes. That, I think, would have made his namesake proud. And the next batter is the Lugnuts left fielder, Johnny Butler. Strikeout his first time. Lefty throws to lefty. At the knees, called a strike on the outer third. Third baseman Lopez is way off his line. 5-0, the Lugnuts are trailing. One out, nobody on. Number 8 batter waits. And a 1 from Gasser. Breaking ball up and in. 1-1 on the slider. Adam, have you found something?
I have found something. This one might be a little tough tonight. I'm curious.
That's okay. Bring it on. Gasser's 1-1 for Butler. Fastball runs outside. 2-1. What do you got?
All right. So there was an order placed in spring training in 1973 by Raleigh Fingers and a couple other guys on the squad.
Butler swings, punches it down the third base side. Fair ball base hit down the left field line. Left fielder Rocher gets it in. Butler is held up at first base as Rocher's throw comes all the way to Stronach at first. It's an opposite field one-out single for Johnny Butler.
Johnny Butler just continues to find ways to get on base, doesn't he?
Yes, he does. All right, tell me more about this special order.
I want to know what was ordered, and it was ordered to be a one-year supply of this for Raleigh Fingers and some other members of the team, if you remember the theme back then.
Brian Provost grounds the first pitch he sees, foul, into the Fort Wayne dugout with a high hop. Lansing's batting, trailing 5-0, last of the fifth. Butler good speed at first with one out for the number 9 hitting Brovas. 1-for-1 with a double. So, what was the order? Here's the pitch. On the inside corner, strike 2 called. Good fastball from Gasser.
We'll tell you, too, there was an order slip filled out, and it was approved by Charlie O'Finley. So this was a very important order that was made.
All right. Gasser kicks and deals. Strike 3 calls is down watching. Strikeout number 5 for Gasser. 2 down, last of the fifth. If you know that answer or if you have a wild guess, email us, jgoldstrass@lansinglugnuts.com, JGOLDSTRASS at lansinglugnuts.com, or message us at Adam Jaxa or at jgoldstrass. Gabriel Maciel takes ball 1 outside with the slider. So again, Adam, 1973 spring training, a year's worth supply, what was ordered by the A's and Raleigh Fingers?
That is correct, Jesse. Approved by Charlie O'Finley.
A ball and offering to Maciel, 1-for-2 today. Gets under it, right side, foul ground. Stronach, the first baseman, tracks it back to his left. Now back to his right with a backhand snag and foul ground just to the right of the stripe. Stayed right with it. And Lansing is set down. Single by Butler is deserted. We're going to the sixth. That is 5 shutout innings for Robert Gasser. Our score, 5-0 Fort Wayne from Jackson Field.
All right, crew, let's get her dug.
Honey, you want to give me a hand? I'm planting that tree, remember?
No matter how large or small your digging project may be, no matter how urban or rural, you must always call 811 before any digging project. 811 is our national one-call number, alerting your local utility companies to come out and mark any lines they have near your dig site. You must call 811 at least 2 to 3 business days before any digging project, so you can avoid hitting our essential buried utilities. This includes natural gas and petroleum pipelines, electric, communication cables, and water and sewer lines. So before you do this or this, make sure you do this. For digging projects big or small, make the call to 811. Brought to you by Common Ground Alliance.
Well, here at the Nuts and Bolts store, your one-stop shop for all Lugnuts gear. We have a great selection of hats, shirts, novelty items, hardware, new stuff arriving every week. So stop on by and check out the great Nuts and Bolts.
This is Ken Korak, radio broadcaster for the Oakland Athletics. You're listening to Lansing Lugnuts Baseball. Now let's get back to the ballpark.
The Tin Caps bring a 5-0 lead to the sixth inning in Lansing. Fort Wayne's number 6, 7, 8 batters coming up. That's Lopez, Stronach, and Villar. They take on Southpaw, Kumar, and Ambiar. The Yale product gets ready, fires. Justin Lopez takes a called strike in the outside corner. Ambiar is a lefty, so this means that the switch-hitting Lopez turns around and bats from the right. He's 1-for-2 with a double and a run scored. The pitch, that's in. One ball and one strike. Justin Lopez wears goggles. The deal. Ground ball pulled on the left side to the shortstop. Backhanded by Angeles, planting and firing. Stretch at first by Soderstrom. One down. Jack Stronach is coming up next. I remember, Adam, when there was a whole slew of Lansing Lugnuts who arrived in from spring training. Back when the Lugnuts were affiliated with Toronto, and they all wore glasses to play. They had all seen the eye doctor in spring training, and every single one of them was told, you know, we can sharpen up your vision, just like with Justin Lopez.
Give you a unique look, or maybe that you're not so much of a unique look.
Here's Jack Stronach. The pitch. That's called a strike, peppering the outside corner. Lugnuts are riding Kumar Nambiar in his fifth appearance of the year. That leads all Lugnuts pitchers. Pitch two consecutive days in West Michigan. The pitch here is down low. One ball, one strike. Last year, if you look at how Nambiar pitched for the Stockton Ports, he made 12 starts and only 3 appearances out of the pen. Nambiar's offering. Well, this is Sky, back of second base. He's got a one-hand catch. Now, there's two easy outs for Nambiar in the top of the sixth inning.
Jesse, are you ready for an unplanned trivia question solely for you?
Okay.
There are only 2 players in the Baseball Hall of Fame to have worn eyeglasses during play. Who are they?
Okay, I know one immediately. Chick Heafy. There's a called strike on the outside corner to Anthony Villar. Is that right?
That is right. And the other, as an A's organization affiliate, you must get right.
Reggie. There's a called strike two on the outside corner to Villar. Mr. October.
That's right. You got him.
Chick Heafy, there's a great story of a game in which he was ejected, and you're not going to believe why. A 2-pitch. Smacked up the middle, sizzling into right center. A base hit beyond Brett Harris at second. Center fielder Buelbas gets it in. Anthony Villar has a 2-out single. And that was a worm burner. Ripken Reyes is coming up next. So here's the story that I heard, Adam. Chick Heafy played, what, in the 1930s? Around then? There was a brouhaha between Hafey's manager and the umpiring crew. And as everybody was ranting and raving in the infield, he's an outfielder, he got tired. A called strike in the inside corner to Reyes, nothing in one. It's a hot day. Heafy watches everybody yelling and screaming at the umpire. He puts his glove down, and he lays down, and he closes his eyes. Nambiar tosses an 0-1 to Reyes. Breaking ball just a little high. One ball, one strike. Well, the umpires get everything sorted out in the infield. They say, play ball. They look out in the outfield, and what do you think they saw? Chick Heafy snoring away. A 1-1 pitch. Ground ball shot toward short. Nice pickup. Angeles to his left. Then he shot the backhand shovel flip. Throw it right past Harris. Around a third base races Villar. Ripken Reyes is on. Fort Wayne continues in this top of the sixth inning. First part of that play, fine by Angeles. Not so great. And now turn the lineup over for Corey Rocher.
Well, he did the tough part, but then completing the play when you're going the other way momentum-wise, not easy, and that's unfortunate for Angeles, who made a really nice stop.
Well, that is going to go down as an error on the shortstop Angeles. That is his second error of the year. Anyway, just to complete the story, the umpire saw Adam. The Chick Hafey was sleeping in center field, and though his teammates tried to quickly race over and wake him up, the umpire threw him out of the game for sleeping. He was ejected.
How many people have been thrown out of a game for sleeping? My goodness.
I'm going to say very, very few. I have been yelled at for falling asleep at a Las Vegas casino. I was at a sports book, and I'd been up way too late. The pitch? That's down and away. They apparently don't like you sleeping while you're watching the football games on an NFL Sunday.
Well, I know it's, what, New York, the city that never sleeps, but Vegas...
They sleep.
Might as well be a city that you never sleep either.
What of? I was sleeping. This pitch is up and away. Two balls, no strikes. It goes down as an infield single, by the way, for Ripken Reyes. And then E6, Eribio Angeles. And that moves Villar over to third. Nambiar's pitch. High chopper hit over Soderstrom. And that ball bounces into right field. That's a base hit. Villar scores. Reyes scampers to third. Otho comes into second base from Maciel. An RBI single for Corey Rocher. The lead grows to 6-0 Caps.
I mean, he's down three balls, no strikes. Is Nambiar in the count and tries to throw one in there, and that's what happens. A bounced ball over the head of Soderstrom leads to another run.
Bad luck, Kumar. Well, here comes Robert Hassel III. Lefty throws to lefty. Breaking ball to start him, called strike one. And Fort Wayne has outscored the Lugnuts so far in, 14 and two-thirds innings. The pitch on the outside corner, strike two called. 10-3 yesterday, and right now we're in the top of the sixth. So I guess we can say 15 and two-thirds, but, you know, it's not complete. And it's 6-0 Caps. Two in the third, one in the fourth, two in the fifth, one in the sixth. Nambiar's pitch. Ground ball pulled foul up the right side. 0-2, it remains on Robert Hassel III.
And the Lugnuts stare in the face of another potential shutout. I mean, still plenty of time to go here in the sixth, but this has happened already a few times this year with what we feel to be is a really talented offense.
Yeah, three times they've been shut out. Nambiar throws. That's lifted in left and down for a base hit off the end of the bat for Hassel. That brings in Ripken Reyes. Rocher stops at second on the Robert Hassel III RBI single. And the lead is now 7-0. Here comes pitching coach Gabriel Osuna. That's not solid contact. That pitch was up, and Robert Hassel III punches himself the RBI knock.
I know we saw Vladdy Jr. play here back in 2017, but that swing right there looked like Vladdy Sr. reaching out of the zone to go get one. He has no business hitting that pitch and having success on it, but does so. And you said it, he didn't hit it a ton. He had the shattered sound of the bat, but muscled it out there. And that turns into another hit and another run. And just like Fort Wayne did last night, remember, Jesse, they did it all in one inning last night with five runs, but they've done it collectively in three innings tonight with a run, two more runs, and two more runs now to equal those five and get them to a 7-0 lead.
So how do you want to pitch the number 10 prospect in the Padres organization? Here's Joshua Mears. Two-run homers. Each of his last two plate appearances. First pitch, he takes a called strike on the inside corner. It was the first pitch his last time up, last inning, in which he took Joey Estes out for a second time. At second, Rocher. At first base, Hassel. 7-0 Caps, two outs, top of the sixth. Lefty fires to the right-handed batter. Miss, chasing the off-speed down and away.
Well, the answer is go right at him. Fastball in sight. Nice pitch away from him, and now you're up 0-2.
A native of Kirkland, Washington, out of the Pacific Northwest, Mears. 0-2. Hit in the air on the right side, and a foul ground, first baseman Soderstrom near the netting, reaching over. Soderstrom's got it, and the side is retired. He reached over the boundary, over the railing, for the third out of the top of the sixth. Drafted as a catcher, watch out now. But as we go to the bottom of the sixth inning, Fort Wayne strings together four consecutive singles, scores two more runs, strands two. 5.5 complete. It's the Tin Caps leading the Lansing Lugnuts by a 7-0 score.
I just don't know what to do anymore. I wish everyone would just go away.
No, it's nothing. Don't worry about me.
Mind your own business.
I hate my life.
She'll see when I'm gone.
Suicide could be right around the corner. That passing comment could be a plea for help. You can help someone before it's too late.
And then she said she wanted to kill herself.
Do something. Contact OK to Say.
Hi, everybody. My name is Jake Darnell, and I'm a new ticket account executive here with the Lansing Lugnuts, and excited to have everybody back in for group events here at the ballpark. For wanting to get a hold of ticket package needs or building an enhanced ballpark magic experience for this season, feel free to get in contact with me, and I'd love to help you get set up. I can put you in place with everything from a small corporate client event to a small little get-together for friends and family. So feel free to get the magic out here. Let's see what this ballpark can really hold, and look to hear from you all soon. You can contact me here at the office at 517-827-2582 and ask for Jake.
Hi, this is Vince Catronio, radio broadcaster for the Oakland Athletics. You're listening to Lansing Lugnuts Baseball. Now let's...
Robert Gasser's night is done after five scoreless innings. He strikes out five. He limits the Lansing Lugnuts to five hits, and they were scattered. One in the first, one in the second, two in the third, one in the fifth. He walked a man in the fourth inning, so no 1-2-3 frames per se. But now he's out. There's Jason Reynolds firing. Inside ball one to Aribio Angeles. It's Angeles, Harrison Soderstrom, 2-3-4. Lansing batting down 7-0 to Fort Wayne. The pitch. That breaks outside. At two balls, no strikes. Right-hander throws to right-hander. That's called a strike on the inside corner. 2-1 on Angeles. It was 1-for-2 of the first inning triple, but in the third inning, a double play grounder that came in a first and third one-out situation. Lines this one into left field, base hit. I should say left centers. Robert Hassel III gets it in. It's another two-hit game for Aribio Angeles. It is his sixth two-hit game in his last eight starts.
Man, you talk about the Lugnuts offense struggling to produce runs. There's one guy that's not struggling to get on base, Mr. Angeles. 15 hits already in his first 11 games. Tremendous.
That brings up Brett Harris. Right-hander against right-hander. Jason Reynolds throws. Harris takes a called strike on the inside corner. By the way, about Jason Reynolds, out of Sicklerville, New Jersey. 23 years of age, a 32nd rounder taken 3 years ago out of Lehigh. Reynolds swerves outside. One ball, one strike on Harris, who's 0-for-1. A comebacker and a walk. Here's the pitch. That's laced to center field. Hassel backs up. He's got it with a little hop at the end. And he reads the baseball before lobbing it in. Angeles retreats to first.
Brett Harris has got to be going, what is going on? Because he keeps hitting the ball really hard. Hit it really hard right up the middle, and it was Robert Gasser that just stabbed at it and came up with it, and that ball was hit out of line as well. You saw the same thing in West Michigan. He did get a couple doubles down, but continuing to come up and have good plate appearances.
Here's Tyler Soderstrom batting cleanup. Lansing's down 7-0. He takes ball one in the dust. Soderstrom is 0-for-2. Frustrating day against the starter Robert Gasser. Struck out looking and struck out swinging. The slider from Gasser did him in. Reynolds delivers. That's inside. Two balls and no strikes on Tyler. Soderstrom this year, five hits, and among those, two doubles. There's a lot of pop. The pitch swings and misses. There's that breaking ball down and in. On the count, two balls and one strike. Back to Reynolds real quick. In his first three innings this year, he allowed five hits and three unearned runs. He had been done in by his defense. Third appearance of the year, the pitch. Fouled back to the screen. And the count goes to two balls and two strikes for Soderstrom. Angeles is the runner at first base for the Lugnuts. 7-0 Fort Wayne. Seven runs, nine hits for the Caps. No runs, six hits for the Nuts. And the only errors of the game, two of them committed by Lansing. The break even. Soderstrom hammers it to right. That ball's out of the corner, and it's off the base of the wall. Strong count for Mears. But he arrives in standing. Tyler's got his third double of the year, and Eusebio Angeles holds up at third.
Well, that's the Tyler Soderstrom we're expecting to see more of. That ball was hammered to right and got out in a hurry, almost too fast, that it was going to be difficult for him to get a double out of it, but he wasn't going to be denied after he sent one down the left field line last night and was held to a single. Good swing by Soderstrom and another good opportunity for Lansing to get on the board.
There's only one out. Here's Jack Winkler. Hits a high bouncer toward short. Dale to his left grabs from the outfield grass, throws wildly to first. In comes Angeles. Winkler is safely on at first, and Soderstrom over to third. It is an RBI infield single for Winkler. Erase the shutout. Lansing trails 7-1.
Great job by Winkler. Attacked that first pitch, backed up Dale in the hole because he nearly got it up the middle of the diamonds, and then runs it out. Good to see Lansing get on the board.
Third run knocked in this year for Winkler. Prior to it, come on that big two-run homer that he had hit against West Michigan. Now Lázaro Armenteros. Jason Reynolds has his sign. Right-hander throws to right-hander. Fastball high. One ball, no strikes. Armenteros is 1-for-2. Single in the second, a strikeout in the fourth. A menacing stance. The pitch. Down and away. Two balls and no strikes. The pitch. That is called a strike. And Armenteros drew back from it as it hooked back in across the inside corner. Soderstrom at third, Winkler at first. Angeles, who led off with the single, has already scored. Reynolds deals. Down and away. And the count now 3-1 on Armenteros. Matt Cross is waiting on deck. And if Reynolds misses again, pitcher Cross. The Lugnuts, Adam, have had some eruptions this year offensively. This is feeling like one. 3-1 pitch. Check swing. It's in and down, and that's ball four. The bases are loaded. Here comes Matt Cross. First, though, a visit to the mound by the pitching coach for the Fort Wayne Tin Caps. This is the venerable Jimmy Jones on Brian Esposito's staff. We have seen Jimmy Jones for quite a few years helping out the pitchers in Fort Wayne, Indiana. Conversed with both the pitcher Reynolds and the catcher Villar. And now, as the pitching coach slowly leaves the mound, pitch clock winding, 3-2-1-0, but apparently, don't worry about that. Jimmy Jones wasn't in the dugout yet. Pitch clock operator was trying to hurry things along, and everybody said, hang on. Cross takes ball one inside.
It's all good. Time ain't nothing but a thing.
Right. Right-hander against right-hander. Ball one offering. There's a strike called on the inside corner. Front door breaking ball. It is Brandon Komar who is warming up in the Fort Wayne pen. A lug nut at every single base, down 7-1 in the sixth. The pitch to Cross. That's way outside. And a fine job by Villar of getting there. Keeping that ball from heading back to the backstop. Soderstrom at third, Winkler at second, Armenteros at first, one out. This is a 2-1. That missed in. Reynolds is in a whole heap of growing trouble. Three balls, one strike on Cross. It was 0 for 2 with two grounders. One of them a double play ball. He takes. Reynolds walks in a run. Lansing trails 7-2.
You'll take them however you get them. Good patience by Matt Cross.
It is his second RBI of the year. Now the number 8 batter in the order, Johnny Butler.
You said it. The Lugnuts, when they score runs, they tend to score them in bunches. So this has to be the inning right here. See if you can get back in this game and go off.
We've got great speed, too, with Armenteros at second. Ball into the outfield should score a pair. Cross at first, Armenteros at second, Winkler at third, one out. The pitch to Butler. Inside, ball one. And at this point, if you're Johnny Butler, you might as well not swing the bat until Reynolds throws you a strike. Johnny is 1 for 2 with a single. The deal. He does swing, and he came up empty with the fastball. They count 1 ball, 1 strike.
Butler was thinking the other thing. Let me see if I can turn on that first strike because he's going to be throwing a fastball to try and get back in the count. Just missed it.
Reynolds sets. Throws. Low and inside. 2 balls and 1 strike. The base hit for Butler his last time up was one that he swatted right down the third base line. Here it comes. Hit off the hand, shallow left center, flowing down for base hit. In comes Winkler and Armenteros. A throw comes into short with Cross holding at second. A 2-run single for Johnny Butler. And the Lugnuts are now down by just 3. Fort Wayne 7, Lansing 4.
Not always how hard you hit it, but where it lands. And that time, landing right in between that left center cushion spot. And Butler and the Lugnuts coming through here to make this a game again.
And we hear the train in the background, too, like it's celebrating. That's going to do it for Jason Reynolds. He is out of this game. And Brandon Komar is coming in. The potential game time run is coming up. And Brian Brobus. And a game in which the Lansing Lugnuts were down 7-0 entering this bottom half. Adam, while we have this chance, is it too early to check in with our answer for our trivia question of the game?
Oh, not at all.
We had an emailed guest sent in from Marcia Bullard, which was exactly the one that I would have gone with when you said, think about the A's who were the mustache gang. What was it that Raleigh Fingers and the crew ordered a year's supply of? Marcia and I agree. Is it mustache wax?
It is mustache wax, Jesse, and they have a picture of the order in the book we've been utilizing.
1 year's supply.
$100 and approved by Charlie O'Family.
Oh, that's beautiful. So congratulations, Marcia Bullard. There's the answer to our Lansing Lugnuts trivia question of the game. Adam, how about we meet this new right-hander for Fort Wayne, Brandon Komar?
Well, Brandon Komar coming into this one to try and slow down these Lugnuts. And he's a 6-foot, 195-pounder up here from the Midwest in Elkhorn, Wisconsin. He's a 22-year-old. He spent his time in 2021 with AA San Antonio last year. He's a 13th-round selection in 2019 out of Madison College.
Johnny Butler's at first. Matt Cross is at second. There's only one man out, and 4 runs are in. Brian Brobus, the number 9 batter, comes up. Lansing down 7-4 in the bottom of the 6th inning. Right-hander throws to right-hander. Komar's pitch. Breaking ball down and away. Ball one. Brobus is 1 for 2. A double and a strikeout looking. Komar has his sign. Sets high. A ball one offering on its way. That's called a strike on the outside corner at the knees with some late movement to it as well. Only one Lugnut has not batted in this 6th inning, and it's the man on deck, Gabriel Maciel. Here's the pitch. Ground ball at the third base side. In comes Lopez, grabs, throws it to first. He's safe. Rojas beats it out. Butler to second, Cross to third. Base is reloaded on an infield single.
That's great hustle. Again, a ball that's not hit very hard, but it's hit in the right spot. Basically, a swinging bunt single, and Lopez fielded it well. He knew immediately he was going to have to try and play it and not let it run foul because it looked like it was going to stay fair, and Cuevas beats it out.
Top of the order time, Gabriel Maciel, bases loaded, batting left, takes a fastball for a called strike one. With those runners, Cross at third is the slowest. Butler at second and Rojas at first can fly. A one. Swing and a miss. Breaking ball, downed in. No balls and two strikes on Maciel. You'd figure Maciel would be one of the least likely Lugnut suspects to strike out right here, but he is a bat control sort of hitter. Contact guy. 7-4 caps. 0-2 from Komar. On its way. Line drive, right field, base hit. In comes Cross. They go station to station. Butler's held up at third as the throw comes in from Mears. On the RBI single by Gabriel Maciel. He's got another two-hit game, and the Lugnuts draw within 7-5.
Look at these Lugnuts go. Eight straight now have reached since that first out. And Brett Harris squared that first out up.
Fly out to dead center. Butler at third, Rojas at second, Maciel is at first. Here's a Rebiel Angeles. He takes ball one from Komar. Angeles is 2-for-3 with a single earlier this inning and a first inning triple. Komar brings it. Swing and a miss. Now the Lugnuts are in a situation where a single would tie the game. Go-ahead run is at first base. Only one man out, down 7-5 in the sixth. Komar throws. Angeles swings and misses again. One ball, two strikes.
I mean, we were just talking in the top of the sixth about will we see Lansing score a run? I mean, Fort Wayne was cruising.
The answer is yes, by the way. Five runs are in so far in the sixth inning. Only one man out. Komar steps off the rubber.
Well, it was the same thing with Maciel. He had two strikes on him when he delivered. Can Angeles do the same?
It's 1-2. Komar throws to Angeles. Swing and a miss. He struck him out with a breaking ball away. Angeles goes down fishing. Two down now in the bottom of the sixth inning. So here comes Brett Harris, who made the first out of the inning. And as Adam had mentioned, seven consecutive Lansing Lugnuts reached base between the Harris flyout and the Angeles strikeout a moment ago. Butler, Rojas, Maciel filling the bags, Lansing down by two. The pitch, inside, ball one.
To be fair, I said eight, but I mistakenly miscounted. You counted correctly.
It's okay. Brandon Komar readies. Offers. Slider down and away. That's the pitch that struck out Angeles, but it was blocked well by Villar, and Harris took it for ball two.
That's paying attention in the on-deck circle, Jesse. You're exactly right. You watch your teammate strike out on that pitch, and you prove to be disciplined when you see that pitch stepping up into the box.
He has to come into him now. And Adam, you... 2-0. Harris swings and misses. Filthy. Strike one.
Big time swing indeed from Harris. He was ready to have that one exit the yard.
The last Lansing Lugnuts Grand Slam, if we turn our attention back to last year, it was Brett Harris on August 19th. He swings and misses, bounces away, but not far from Villar, just to the left of the circle. Once again, there's that great breaking ball from Komar. Two balls and two strikes.
Have we not had a Grand Slam at home since the big one from Ryan Gold? Austin Beck hit one in West Michigan last year.
That's
I think
really
we only had
point.
Two.
I think you're right. Bases loaded, two gone. Lansing down by two, bottom of the sixth. The 2-2 pitch. Off the hands of Jam Shout on the right side. First baseman Stronach waits. He's got it. The inning is over. Lansing strands three. But first, the Lugnuts scored five. Five runs in the bottom of the sixth inning to pull back within two. And as we go to the seventh inning now from Jackson Field, it is the Fort Wayne Tin Caps 7, the Lansing Lugnuts 5.
Student safety affects us all, and you can make a difference using OK to Say.
Did you know that in 81% of violent incidents in U.S. schools, at least one other person had information that a school attack was planned but failed to report it?
How many lives could have been saved if just one person had said something?
OK to Say can change that. OK to Say is an easy and confidential way for Michigan students to report anything that threatens their safety or the safety of others.
If you see or hear something that doesn't seem right, you can submit a confidential tip using the OK to Say mobile app.
Or you can submit by text, email, the OK to Say website, or call 8555-OK-TO-SAY.
The tip information is confidential, so you never have to worry about retaliation, rejection, or being labeled a snitch. It's that easy.
You might be the one person who helps to prevent a tragedy.
Take a stand and protect yourself, and if you won't, who will?
Hi, I'm Nick Bertoia. I'm the corporate sales manager here with the Lansing Lugnuts. If you're a business looking to plan a fun outing to reward employees, treat clients, and build team morale, give me a call at 517-827-2598 to talk more about our great group venues. Now back to Lugnuts Baseball. Go Nuts.
You're listening to Lansing Lugnuts Baseball, High A affiliate of the Oakland Athletics. Now, let's head back to the ballpark. Alongside Jesse Goldberg-Strassler, here's Adam Jackson.
Well, what do you say about a five-run six to make this a ball game again? We head to the seventh, and Fort Wayne leads 7-5. First pitch shoots in for strike one on Brandon Valenzuela. 4, 5, and 6 coming to the plate here for Fort Wayne, and all of a sudden, the lead is tight. The throw from Nambiar. And that one just misses. 1-1. Valenzuela tonight 0-2 with a walk in his first at bat. The third pitch, down low, 2-0. It was 7-0 and felt like Fort Wayne was cruising to a game two win, but the Lugnuts offense had other plans. 11 batters came to the plate. 2-1. That's on the outside corner. Good location. 2-2. 5 runs on 6 hits, and they even still left the bases loaded. 2-2 pitch. Breaking ball stayed up top, and it fooled Valenzuela as he waited for it to come down but couldn't catch up to it. Nice-looking strikeout, the first of the night for Kumar Nambiar. So now it's Jared Dale. And Nambiar trying to keep this momentum going for Lansing. Pitch low and inside. 1-0. Lansing just 3-7 through their first 10 games. They've only picked up one win here at home. Came in that Sunday finale against Lake County. 1-0. Takes. Lost last night's game. They were kind of in this similar deficit of a couple of runs throughout the entire night until a 5-run 9th opened things up. Tin Caps 1-10-3. 2-0. That's sliced off foul. 2-0. A 50-degree night with the winds gusting, swirling around in the outfield. Up around 15 to 20 miles an hour. Temperature is going to increasingly rise as this week goes on. 2-1. Swing and a miss. That breaking ball looks filthy. From Kumar Nambiar. Some good arc to it. The 2-2 goes right back to it, and this time Dale gets a piece of it. 2-2. Lansing actually out-hitting Fort Wayne 11-9. As we mentioned, they had pressure on the bases through the first few innings, even though they didn't score against the starter, Robert Gasser. 2-2. inside, and that straightens up Dale as he backs up on his tiptoes to get out of the path of that baseball. Three balls, two strikes on the five hitter, who's 0 for 3 tonight. One on the ground, one in the air, and one strikeout. The payoff, way up and out, ball four.
I think he might have tried a little bit too hard to throw that fastball, you know, trying to put a couple of extra ticks on it. Simply lost its location.
Ambiar will reset, steps off the back of the mound, and will come back to try against Justin Lopez.
I don't think he's going to get the chance.
You're right. Phil Pohl out there to call to the bullpen. And it's going to be Edward Barham that comes in. So that's going to do it for Kumar Nambiar, who had to eat up the last couple of innings. He finished off the fifth and then got through the sixth, but gave up a couple of runs. And then gets the strikeout and the walk here in the seventh. And Phil Pohl says, let's go to our third pitcher tonight. For 205-pound, 24-year-old out of Saddlebrook, New Jersey.
Adam Barham has made two prior appearances this year, 1 2/3 innings. He has allowed one unearned run, but he hasn't allowed any hits yet among 9 total batters faced, 2 walks and 1 strikeout. He was originally acquired by the Oakland Athletics in the 30th round 3 years ago out of Adelphi University, where he majored in business and finance, and he was the best Division II pitcher in the country, you could make a case, at a 1.32 ERA. He did not allow an earned run in April of 2019, and of course, he was named First Team All-America, and then drafted by the A's, and he has worked his way here to Lansing.
Adelphi, nickname, any idea?
You going to give me a hint, or should I just take a wild stab in the dark?
It's a type of cat, and it's a common nickname.
A type of cat?
Yes.
The Panthers.
Boom!
Hey-o! I'll take it.
All right. Never give Jesse hints. He's already too smart as it is.
You should always give me hints. Always.
All right. Well, let's see if he can keep things going here in terms of keeping Fort Wayne off the scoreboard. And he's trying to do that, Jesse, for the first time in 5 half innings. Fort Wayne didn't score in the first 2 innings, but remember, they peppered multiple balls from their order. But then in the third, 2 runs. Fourth, they get a run. And then the fifth and the sixth, 2 runs each. So Lansing looking again to continue their momentum from that 5-run sixth and put up a zero for the first time since inning number 2. Justin Lopez swings at the first pitch and skies it down the left field side towards the Pepsi porch and actually ricochets out there in between the brick stanchion. Strike one on Lopez, 1 for 3 tonight. Had one of those hard lineouts in the second. The pitch, runner takes off for second. Here comes the throw. Cross actually hits the runner in Dale, and that helped his cause because that ball looked like it was destined for center if Brett Harris, who was backing up the play, wasn't able to come up with it. It's a stolen base. Dale is going to take his time and walk things off beyond second as, again, he got hit by that baseball trying to slide into the back.
Think of an HBP where the P stands for pitch by the pitcher. That's HBC. He got hit by the catcher.
Either way you get hit, it doesn't feel good.
No, especially not when the night is cold.
Justin Lopez will have to wait as we get a conference out on the mound. I feel like this was a big part of the game, Jesse. Before the pitch clock installed, there was, it seemed like, a lot more mound visits, even for just catchers making sure they're on the same page. We have not seen a ton of those here, 2022. Runner takes off for third. Cross throws down to third, and it is wild. Winkler can't come up with it, and in to score comes Dale. You talk about Fort Wayne scoring in multiple ways. They can do it with the big ball. We've seen a couple of home runs. But also, they get guys on base. Jesse told you earlier, 14 for 16 in stolen bases coming into tonight. And that's just pressure on the base paths from Dale that leads to another run. 0-2 is fouled back out of play.
It's 2 throws by Matt Cross, too, that missed in the same way. The tail to the right of the bag. And that one there, that's not close for Jack Winkler. There's nothing the third baseman can do.
That'll be an E2. on Cross. There's a swing and a miss and a strikeout for Barum. That's tough for Barum, who comes in. He gets the out, but already a run has come in to score. So Lansing will not get that first zero up on the board since the second, and Fort Wayne recaptures a three-run lead. It's Justin Lopez, or check that. Stronach, that bounces off a home plate to Harris at second, throws short to first, and Soderstrom grabs it. And we will head to the bottom of the seventh, stretch it out here for the seventh inning stretch. It's 8-5, Fort Wayne in Lansing. Let's see if the Lugnuts offense can follow up what they did in the sixth with some runs here in the seventh. They trail 8-5. 11 hits to the 9 of Fort Wayne. Granted, Komar back in, and the first pitch grabs the outside corner for Tyler Soderstrom. He exhausted some frustration after a couple strikeouts with a ringing double in his last at bat. And he takes another pitch on the outside corner, and Soderstrom quickly behind 0-2 against the righty. Time called by Tyler Soderstrom is he's going to step back out, recollect his thought. They play Tyler to pull. The 0-2. Swing and a foul tip that's held onto into the glove of Anthony Villar, and it's a 3-strikeout night for Soderstrom. Well, that's tough right there. The pitch just a little bit outside. He got a piece of it, but Villar able to hang on. 8-5, Fort Wayne leading Lansing. Now Jack Winkler's turn. The pitch, down low, ball one. Winkler tonight 0-2 at an RBI single in that lengthy sixth where Lansing sent 11 to the plate. The pitch from Komar. Outside, 2-0. Lugnuts in danger of dropping their second straight after salvaging the series finale on Sunday. Pitch, swing, and a miss from Winkler. 2-1. And going down in this series, 2-0 against Fort Wayne, who's looking to move to 7-4. 2-1. Down low to Winkler. 3-3. And we haven't seen the sustained offense from Lansing. If they get runs, it typically comes in bunches. 3-1. Sent out to right center field. That's headed toward the gap and is down, going all the way to the 407 sign in right. Winkler's around first. Winkler's around second. The throw is coming. Winkler slides in head first and beats the throw as Lopez couldn't catch it cleanly. It's triple number 3 on the season for the Lugnuts. This one from Jack Winkler.
He hit that ball in a triple's alley. And Adam, he was thinking triple immediately. Robert Hassel III got there fairly quickly. and started up the relay process. But that is all about Jack Winkler putting his foot on the accelerator.
Great stuff from Winkler. Time. The pitch. Down low, ball one. Winkler now with a triple and a home run, part of his six hits on the year. The pitch, swing, and a foul back off the catcher, Anthony Villar. One ball, one strike. Another good night for Lázaro Armenteros. Seems to be earning an opportunity more and more. His appearances in the lineup. Base hit, a walk tonight. 1-1. Swing and a miss. One ball, two strikes. There's just so many guys that have the capabilities offensively, and Phil Poland said it last night. He was getting interviewed by WILX, the news station, one of them here in Lansing, by Kellen Buddy, and said, we're still trying to find our identity. 1-2. Swing and a miss. Armenteros goes down on strikes. So not the at-bat he wanted there. Third K for Brandon Komar. But I think that's part of the battle here. Obviously, the offense has got to wake up. You look to see if things heat up with the weather coming around as well, but then you got to find your best nine and position these guys and try and find that rhythm. There's so many different bats that can be utilized and become really good bats. Matt Cross takes a pitch down low. He had a good at-bat in the last half inning. 5-pitch walk. 8-5 our score. Lugnuts scored all five runs in that last half inning. Winkler tripled. He's at third. Two outs, though, in the frame. Brandon Komar's pitch. Fastball in. Strike one. Twelve hits tonight after that triple from Winkler through right center. The delivery. In on the hands, jammed him. Foul territory, though, and climbs up about four rows deep. Ball two strikes. Back here again tomorrow at 6:05 for a Thirsty Thursday, our first of the year. How about that?
Oh, baby.
Comes a 1-2 pitch. High hopping ball, foul down the third base side. One ball, two strikes. For Phil Pohl and some of these new Lansing Lugnuts, they have not yet experienced what type of atmosphere a Thirsty Thursday presented by Labatt Blue brings to the Lansing area. It gets dicey.
Michigan State University is in session. No summer vacation yet.
The 1-2. That's a slider, low and outside. Good block behind the plate by Villar. Michigan State University takes their summer vacation here to the ballpark for Thirsty Thursdays in June and July. Still be here.
Start up the shuttles.
We hope to see you this summer and hope to see you tomorrow, 6:05 start. So the Lugnuts are hoping to pick up their second win in the series if they can find a way to come back tonight, down 8-5 in the seventh. The 2-2 pitch. Low and outside. My goodness, Villar making it look easy back there, the way he's just picking up these balls off the dirt with Winkler at third base. No problem back there. And it's three balls, two strikes. Another good at-bat from Matt Cross. It's grounded into a double play, grounded out to second, and then walked in a run in the sixth. 3-2 pitch. Swinging a ball that hops off home plate, comes back and hits Cross, and then bounces into fair territory. 3-2 remains the count.
It's a fascinating catching combination that Fort Wayne has when you consider the big-time prospect Brandon Valenzuela. And then you've got the Miami Hurricane, who was drafted just last year in Villar, plus the San Diego prospect Adam Kerner, who we have not seen yet. But Villar and Valenzuela, you've got two capable catchers.
Pitch. Swing and a cue shot that bounces to Strahlik at first, and he heads over, tags the bag himself, and that's going to do it. So the Lugnuts, for a second time tonight, strand a triple Anjale stranded in the first. It's Winkler stranded here in the seventh. To the eighth we go. Jesse Goldberg-Strassler takes you the rest of the way. Fort Wayne 8, Lansing 5.
Most of us like to be out in the sun. That's why sunscreen and other safety measures are key to protecting your skin from aging and cancer. The FDA recommends using a sunscreen with a sun protection factor, or SPF, of 15 or higher. Also, look for broad spectrum on the label. That means both harmful ultraviolet A and B rays are blocked. UVA rays age the skin, UVB rays burn, and both cause cancer. But the perfect sunscreen doesn't count if you use it wrong. Don't need sunscreen on a cloudy day? Wrong. 80% of UV rays still get through the haze. Only use sunscreen at the beach? Nope. Anytime you're outside, UV rays attack the skin, so you need protection. And you have to reapply sunscreen every 2 hours. Remember, SPF plus broad spectrum equals healthy fun in the sun. Visit www.fda.gov/sunscreen for more information. A message from the U.S. Food and Drug Administration.
You're listening to Lansing Lugnuts Baseball, High A affiliate of the Oakland Athletics. Now, let's head back to the ballpark. Alongside Adam Jaxa, here's Jesse Goldberg-Strassler.
Seven innings down, we open up the eighth. And the Lansing Lugnuts are down 8-5 to the Fort Wayne Tin Caps. This has been an interesting sort of game where Fort Wayne has continued to score after getting blanked in the first and the second innings by the Lugnuts starting pitcher Joey Estes. They played a two in the third and a Joshua Mears homer. In the fourth inning, they scored one. In the fifth, two more runs. Joshua Mears a home run. In the sixth, two more runs. And in the seventh, a run. First pitch, Edward Barham here in the eighth. Outside ball one, Anthony Villar, the catcher, batting eighth. Villar, Reyes, and Rocher, 8-9-1 in the order here. The pitch, that's outside from Barham. Two balls, no strikes. So while Fort Wayne has scored consistently, Lansing has had one big inning, a five-run bottom of the sixth. Right-hander Barham deals. Hit in the air, left field. Johnny Butler measures, walks in. He's got it. A one-hand catch. And there's at number one. That catch was a la carte. And Ripken Reyes will step in next. Edward Barham's task to try to put up a zero up there for Fort Wayne. Easier said than done. Though the Lugnuts are now out hitting the Tin Caps 12-9. Lansing, though, has committed three errors, and Joshua Mears has two homers. The pitch to Ripken Reyes is hit in the outer right field. This ball's hit well. Marcio on the run to his right. It's beyond him. It's down in the alleyway, rolling to the base of the wall. He's around second. Heading for third. Relay throw high and late. He dives in head first with a triple. A one-out triple for Ripken Reyes. And Fort Wayne is threatening again. It is his first triple of the year. Once you get that ball down into the green grass and triples alley in right center, you can keep on running. Corey Rocher now in the top of the order. Infield has drawn in for the Lugnuts. The pitch, high and outside from Barham, ball one. Let me correct something that I said, though. The first batter of this inning was Anthony Villar. And I mentioned, hey, you've got a Miami catcher to go along with the catching prospect Valenzuela. Watch out. The pitch, that's outside. Two balls, no strikes. That was in the bottom half of the seventh inning, talking with Adam all about the catching depth for Fort Wayne. Well, Anthony Villar's catching background, where do you hear this? The pitch. Rocher takes ball three, blocked well by Cross. It was down, bouncing in from Barham. Anthony Villar, in college at Miami, played all of his games at second base and shortstop. And he started all 131 games he played at Miami, 104 at second base. And the other 27 were at shortstop. 3-0. Taking all the way, Rocher takes ball four inside. Runners are at the corners for Fort Wayne. Rocher draws his league-leading 13th walk of the year. One man out, top of the eighth inning. Tin Caps up 8-5. And that's going to provoke a pitching mound visit from Gabriel Osuna, the Lansing pitching coach. Well, Jonathan Villar, how did he go from being an all-ACC second-team performer as a second baseman to being a professional catcher in the Padres organization? According to the research done by John Nolan, Ben Schulman, and the Fort Wayne Media Relations Department, Anthony Villar started putting catching workout videos on YouTube before the 20... And you know, folks will watch YouTube. There's a high demand for some baseball workout videos. And Anthony Villar was drafted by the Padres in the 15th round as a catcher last year. And here he is catching this year and today for Fort Wayne, and catching very well. He flied out, but Reyes tripled, Rocher walked, and now here's Robert Hassel III. Runners at first and third, one out in the eighth. The first pitch, outside from Barham, ball one. Barham came on in the seventh inning to replace Kumar Nambiar with a strikeout and a ground out to second from Jack Stronach. There was an inherited runner who scored against him, Jared Dale, on a throwing error by the catcher Cross. The pitch, hit in the air, slicing down the left side. Long run Butler, right down the line. Johnny Butler's got the catch. At third base, the tag by Reyes. Throw to the plate, offline. Ripken Reyes scores. A throw into second base, in time. And the tag on Rocher, that retires the side. But a sacrifice foul fly for Hassel III. And Fort Wayne increases its lead to 9-5 as we go to the bottom of the eighth inning. Let's go to the bottom of the eighth from Jackson Field. Tin Caps up by four. The Lansing Lugnuts will have Johnny Butler leading off when we return.
My folks are out of town this weekend. I raided their medicine cabinet and got a bunch of good stuff.
Did you get any Vicodin? I need my fix.
Yeah, right here. There's more where that came from, too.
Drug abuse could be right around the corner. You can help. That passing comment could be a clue.
My folks are out of town again this weekend. Farm party at my house?
Speak up. If you see or hear something that doesn't seem right, contact OK to Say.
Hey, Brian, come here for a sec.
What's up?
You know that loser in our class? I heard he crossed out people's pictures in his yearbook. Creepy, right?
Yeah, I heard him say everyone is against him and they'll be sorry.
That passing comment could be a warning sign.
And I thought I saw a gun in his backpack.
Speak up. If you see or hear something that doesn't seem right, contact OK to Say.
You're listening to Lansing Lugnuts Baseball, High A affiliate of the Oakland Athletics. Now, let's head back to the ballpark. Alongside Adam Jaxa, here's Jesse Goldberg-Strassler.
Fort Wayne scored again. Tin Caps have only been held scoreless in the first and the second innings. Two in the third, one in the fourth. Two in the fifth, two in the sixth. One in the seventh and one in the top of the eighth inning, although the Lugnuts did get out of it with catcher Matt Cross firing down to second base, where Brett Harris tagged out Corey Rocher trying to move up on a sacrifice foul fly. As we hit the bottom of the eighth inning, the Lugnuts will have 8-9-1. Johnny Butler, Brian Buelvas, and then Gabriel Maciel. First up, here's Johnny Butler, and the first pitch is lined foul back and over the screen. That pitch was delivered by the righty Seth Mayberry out of Dinwiddie, Virginia. The 39th rounder 4 years ago out of Dinwiddie High School. Let's it fly. Line drive left field, slicing down for a base hit in front of Rocher. Rocher gets it in. Johnny Butler is on with a single. Oppo, it's his third single of the game. And now Brian Buelvas. Lansing Lugnuts have a baker's dozen worth of hits, but they're trailing 9-5.
This is wild.
By the way, Dinwiddie High School, of course, named after Spencer Dinwiddie. A very good basketball player.
It was all right.
That might need to be fact-checked. Here's the pitch to Buelvas. Outside and high, ball one. How about the Oakland Athletics last night? Did I miss something?
Just subtle drops that might need to be fed.
Today, the number nine hitter, single and a double. He takes a called strike. One ball, one strike on Buelvas. Right. So the Oakland Athletics, they won yesterday. I'll get to what's going on with the A's today. They're taking on the Baltimore Orioles at home in Oakland after they open up the year a long time on the road. The pitch. That's called strike two with the knees. So yesterday, the A's won in come-from-behind fashion. 2-1, they beat the O's. The winning pitcher in that game was Zach Logue, or as Adam would call him.
Logue won.
That's right. Came in from the pen, won the third scoreless innings. Robles takes, in and low, 2 balls, 2 strikes. Leadoff man Maciel waiting in the wings. At first base, Butler for the Lugnuts. Last of the eighth, nobody out, and down by 4.
To use it in a sentence, last night, Logue won.
He did, he got the win. That was Major League debut. The pitch. Lots of rocket over the leaping third baseman Lopez, and it's into the left field corner. Johnny Butler darts around to third base where he's held up by Phil Pohl. A throw comes in from Rocher. Robles is at second with a double. He's got a 3-hit game, and it's his second double of the game. It's his 4th double of the year. Boy, the ball explodes off of his bat.
And him and Soderstrom, the 2 hardest hit balls, and they both go to the opposite side of the park tonight. Soderstrom, a rocket out to right. That was sizzled. And Lopez tried to spoil it. He almost got up to take that line drive away.
Gabriel Maciel is the next batter. Nobody out. Switch hitter bats left. 9-5 caps. A takes. Called strike 1. Lifted up his arms, but it was on the inside corner. Fastball. So, yes, not only did Zach Logue have the win in his major league debut, becoming the 163rd former Lugnut to reach the major leagues, number 162, Zach Jackson, had the save. The pitch. Maciel swings it. And if you're worried about Maciel being down in the count 0-2, his last time up, it was an 0-2 pitch, and he lined an RBI single to right field in the 5-run Lugnut 6th inning. That accounts for all their runs. 2-strike pitch. Inside corner, strike 3 called. He lost the zone, and he goes down watching. One away in the bottom of the 8th inning. Now Seth Mayberry takes on a Rubiel Angeles. The Athletics today, by the way, they've gone to the 9th, and they're trailing the Baltimore Orioles 1-0. Here's the pitch. Angeles taking all the way. Strike called at the knees on the outside corner. Angeles is 2-for-4 with a single and a triple. Last time up, though, he struck out with the bases loaded in the 6th inning. Mayberry's pitch. Punched foul on the ground on the right side. 0-2. Hey, Rubio was late.
Some low-scoring games. 2-1 yesterday, and the O's looking for their first road win of the year.
Well, have you seen how many runs the Orioles have allowed this year? Here's the pitch. That's grounded foul at home plate. The Baltimore Orioles record is 3-8, right?
Mm-hmm.
The Orioles have allowed 37 runs. 37 runs is fewer runs allowed than the Blue Jays, than the Rays, than the Red Sox, than the entirety of the AL Central, than almost the entirety of the AL West that's tied with the Seattle Mariners for the fewest runs allowed. The Orioles have some of the best pitching in the American League. The deal here. Ground ball on the left side. Breaking for the plate, Butler. Justin Lopez grabs. Throws to first. Not in time. Lopez held the runner Robles at second base, and that cost him. He pivoted a bat. He threw to first. Angeles is safe. Official score says RBI infield single. Lansing trails 9-6.
Plays this time with his speed, but on a 3-hit night, he just continues to find ways to get on base, and it's such an important part of this order for the Lugnuts.
The batter now is Brett Harris. 2-on, 1-out, the pitch outside from Mayberry. Here come the Lugnuts again. And by the way, that is one of the peculiar official scoring decisions, that if a fielder waits too long to throw the ball to first base on a grounder, it's not a fielder's choice. Harris takes ball 2 inside. You might say to yourself, well, Justin Lopez didn't throw Angeles out at first because he was just looking the runner back. And we know that's a mental error, but it's not an error charged in the box score. 2-0 for Harris. That's right past catcher Villar Lone away, and both runners move up. Three balls and no strikes on Harris. A wild pitch to move Angeles to second and Robust to third.
Yeah, just a missed throw right there from Mayberry. No chance for Villar, who's made a ton of really good stops tonight behind the plate, but that was just a rocket into the dirt.
And one more wide one. Harris will be walked to load the bases for Tyler Soderstrom. Lansing is down by three runs. 3-0 pitch. That's right down the middle. I'd have called strike one. Harris is 0 for 3 with a walk, looking for his first hit of the game. That walk, though, did extend his on-base streak to a team-high 8 games. Right-hander fires to right-hander. Mayberry's pitch. Fouled away in the air to the right. And over the rooftop, back to Michigan Avenue. They are gone to the bottom of the ninth inning now in Oakland. 1-0 Orioles. Bethancourt, Andrews, and Jackson coming up for Oakland. A payoff pitch. Ground ball left side. Lopez can't grab, but it went foul. He reached down with the backhand, and he olayed it, but it was a foul ball. And so we remain 3-2 in Harris.
Boy, that would have been fun if that stays fair and just inside the bag, because it's either going to hop beyond it, and then you got to go and try and scramble and get that one out of the bullpen area if you're the left fielder, Corey Rozier.
By the way, Adam, let me add one last thing about this A's game. Christian Lopes is 0-2. He pinch hit in the sixth inning for Billy McKinney. Lopes becomes the 164th Lansing Lugnut to reach the major leagues. The set. Mayberry's pitch. Outside ball four. Bases loaded on the walk to Harris. Here is Tyler Soderstrom. And what a game this has been for the 2020 first rounder. He is 1-for-4. He has struck out 3 times. He has doubled and scored. A left-handed batter against the righty. Lugs down 9-6. The first pitch. Fouled straight back. He just was off that fastball. He had it all timed up and everything, Adam.
It just doesn't feel like the Lugnuts are within this game, because Fort Wayne is led throughout. But then you look and see the Lugnuts are out hitting them by 5. Just very peculiar up on the scoreboard tonight.
The set at the waist, the pitch. Soderstrom fouls it back over the netting. He has had 2 good rips, but he's down to the cap, 0-2. The tying runs are on. Soderstrom is the potential go-ahead run in the left-hand batter's box. And the bat boy was hustling a little bit too much.
He had too many baseballs in his hands.
Oh, Ethan. 9-6, Fort Wayne. One man out, bottom of the 8th. Here's the 0-2. Down and in. A 1-2. Johnny Butler led off this inning with a single to left field. Brian Buelbas doubled him to third base. Maciel struck out looking. Angeles an RBI single. Here's the pitch. Chopper hit towards short. Dale grabs. Feeds Reyes one. Oderstrom beats it out. An RBI fielder's choice that brings in Brabas. And Lansing trails 9-7. Angeles moves over to third base as Harris is forced out at the keystone. 2 gone for Jack Winkler.
Well, not what Soderstrom wanted there, but I tell you what, that's good hustle. Because that keeps this inning alive and gets the Lugnuts within a couple of runs now. And here comes a guy who's got one of the lone 2 home runs this year. You just never know. With 1 inning to play, good opportunity here for the Lansing to tie this up, maybe grab the lead.
Tying runs on the bases. Angeles at third, Soderstrom at first. The first pitch. Winkler takes ball one high. If the Lugnuts found a way to take the lead, they would be 3 outs away from a win.
Like the sounds of that.
Right-hander against right-hander. The pitch to Winkler. Breaks his bat, squibbing it to Reyes at second. Snatches it up, throws to first. Inning over. Lansing tacks on two runs in the bottom half of the eighth inning on three hits and a walk with two left on. It is 9-7 Fort Wayne as we're going to the ninth inning from Jackson Field.
Do you worry about how much someone drinks?
Do you feel angry or depressed most of the time? Do you feel neglected or unloved?
Do you feel you attract people who tend to be compulsive or abusive?
Do you have money problems because of someone else's drinking?
Are you afraid or embarrassed to bring your friends home?
Do you feel that if the drinker loved you, she or he would stop drinking?
If you answered yes to any of these questions, you are not alone.
More than half of all adults have a family history of alcoholism.
Not everyone trapped by alcohol is an alcoholic.
Families and friends are suffering too.
Al-Anon and Alateen can help.
200-0223 or visit alanon.org/help.
This is Ken Korak, radio broadcaster for the Oakland Athletics. You're listening to Lansing Lugnuts Baseball. Now let's get back to the ballpark.
Well, let's go to the ninth inning. The Lansing Lugnuts just keep on coming. Now they're trailing 9-7 to Fort Wayne. With Adam Jaxa, I'm Jesse Goldberg-Strassler. The Lugnuts were down 7-0, scored 5 runs in the 6th. We're down 9-5, scored 2 runs in the 8th. The ninth inning begins with Joshua Mears leading off for the Tin Caps. He swings and misses the off-speed from Edward Barham. Strike 1. Mears, who is 2 for 4 with 2 run homers, one in the 3rd and one in the 5th. One for a 2-0 Caps lead, one for a 5-0 Caps lead.
One task here. You got to keep Fort Wayne off the scoreboard. And they have scored in every half inning outside of the first and the second. But you're going to have to do it against the heart of this order.
3-4-5, Mears, Valenzuela, and Dale. Mears takes low. One ball and one strike against Edward Barham. A 1 2/3 inning so far for Barham out of the pen. The right-hander throws. That's fouled off at home plate, and the count is 1-2. By the way, they have gone final. The Orioles have shut out the A's 1-0.
Bummer.
The A's record is 7-6, but the A's have a lot of guys in COVID protocol. They've been doing, relying heavily upon Las Vegas players. Ground ball pulled foul, left side. Stays 1-2 on Mears.
Started the night in first place.
Just remarkable, the kind of play that they have had this year, especially with a long road trip to open the year in tough places like Tampa and Toronto. Pitch to Mears. Check swing, it was away. On appeal, did not go, says bases umpire Levine. And 2 balls and 2 strikes. And 9-7 Fort Wayne. Though the Lugnuts have amassed 15 hits, Tin Caps have 10. Here's the pitch. Hit on the outer right center field. Back goes Brabas. Rounding left, he runs it down. Run away in the top of the ninth inning, and that was a very loud out.
Well, Mears has hammered the ball this entire series, and that one no different. He didn't get it as far as some of the others have gone, but still, Brabas. That ball was running away from him out in right center field, and he's had some struggles with some difficult balls, especially with the wind. That one he grabbed.
Now here's Brandon Valenzuela, who fouls off the first pitch in the air to the left. Strike 1. Adam, I think it's just going to be this kind of adventure all year with the 19-year-old center fielder at the plate and in the field. Valenzuela takes one bouncing in. 1 ball, 1 strike. 1 out, nobody on in the ninth. Fort Wayne is batting up 9-7.
Well, it's already a difficult outfield to play here at Jackson Field, but you add in 15 to 20 mile-an-hour winds that we've had the last couple nights.
Barron's pitch runs away. 2 balls, 1 strike.
That's going to challenge and mature a 19-year-old very quickly.
He has just shown such great flashes. A great running catch there. Great hitting tonight, too. Valenzuela lines it foul to our left. Up into the sweet level. Our high home camera.
Did not stay sturdy.
I don't blame him. Valenzuela swings and fouls this one away to the left side.
But as Terry Allapart sits to our left, he's thinking, just don't drop it. That's all I care about.
Stay safe, everybody. This is a 2-2 pitch from Barron. Bouncing ball hit towards short. Room service up. Ron Hillay's coming in. Throws to first at number two. Like a walk in the park for a Rebiel Angeles.
On a dog days of summer, nice.
And the batter will be Jared Dale. Edward Barham looks for a 1-2-3 frame. Off speed, down and in. Ball one. Dale is 0-for-3. But in the seventh inning, with one out, he walked, stole second, then stole third and came in on a throwing error by the catcher Cross. The pitch, swing and a miss. One ball, one strike. In a game like this, every single run matters. Fort Wayne 9, Lansing 7, top of the ninth inning. That was a very big insurance run for the Caps. The pitch, swing and a miss, strike two. That was up. When we go to the bottom of the ninth inning, it will be Armenteros, Cross, and Butler, 6-7-8 for the Lugnuts. The deal from Barron. Line drive over second baseman Harris. It gets into right, and it's botched by Maciel. That's going all the way to the wall, and Dale has speed. Dashes around second. On his way for third. Stop sign there from Brian Esposito as the throw comes in. It is a single for Jared Dale, and then a two-base fielding error by Maciel in right. That is the fourth error of the game on the Lansing Lugnuts.
Well, they came in as the lowest error-prone team in the league, but tonight they have just made some mistakes out there, and they've cost them so far.
Justin Lopez takes a called strike. Well, will this one cost the Nuts? There's two outs, nobody on, and suddenly you've got Dale at third base. Barham to Lopez. Hit in the air and foul. Soaring off, pitching on the concourse. That's what? Near Ope, the new pub on the third base concourse. Thought you'd appreciate that name.
True to our Michigan roots.
The pitch from Barham. Ground ball right side to first baseman Soderstrom. He's got it. He takes it himself. And that'll do it for the top of the ninth inning. Hey, look, a goose egg.
Oh, let's head to the ninth.
All right. And oh, a zero put up there, top of the ninth for Edward Barham. To the bottom of the ninth inning we travel. Lansing Lugnuts are down by two to the Fort Wayne Tin Caps. It is 9-7 Caps.
What makes essential workers essential?
We build safe roads for you to drive on.
We harvest fresh produce for your families to eat.
We help you heal when you're sick.
We get you where you need to go.
We keep where you work and live clean and safe.
We make sure you get what you need to make your household work.
You're the essential workers who help our nation run. You're in every city, town, and corner of our country, and you come from all over the globe. And you have essential protections under the law. I'm Marty Walsh. The Wage and Hour Division at the Department of Labor helps ensure you receive the essential protections you deserve. If you have questions about your pay or about your job protection during an illness, visit our website or call 866-4-US-WAGE. That's 866-487-9243. We can provide help in more than 200 languages.
Brought to you by the United States Department of Labor.
Hi, this is Vince Catronio, radio broadcaster for the Oakland Athletics. You're listening to Lansing Lugnuts Baseball. Now let's get back to the ballpark.
Now to the bottom of the ninth inning. Fort Wayne 9, Lansing 7. Armenteros, Cross, Butler coming up to home plate for the Lansing Lugnuts for this bottom of the ninth, down to their final three outs. It begins with Lazaro Armenteros, and he takes a breaking ball in the outside corner, a called strike one from the new man in, the right-hander, Luke Boyd, who offers strike called on the outer edge.
Yeah, righty, 6'2", 180-pounder. He is in his second game this year, pitched just one inning, giving up two hits and one unearned run.
Armenteros takes ball two, bouncing into catcher Villar. This is number 11 against number 11. Both of these players wear the double aces. The pitch. Armenteros a check swing, but he went around too far, says the home plate umpire Juska. And that's strike two on a pitch that came bouncing in and then off the catcher Villar, kicking right.
They're going one-on-one, one-on-one.
That's right. Luke Boyd readies, winds, throws, swing and a miss at a high fastball. Strike three, one away in the ninth inning. Third strikeout today for Armenteros.
That was a loud swing for Lazaro Armenteros. He would have loved that one to come into his wheelhouse, but that's why Luke Boyd changed the eye level, made him chase.
You said it. 9-7, the Lugnuts are down. Down by two, down to their final two outs. And we will see a pinch hitter now. Pitch hitting for Matt Cross. Lansing Lugnuts manager Phil Pohl goes to Patrick McCall. Left-handed batter.
Yeah, I like this move, Jesse. We talked about it yesterday. Get some guys in there. He's a guy that doesn't have a wowing average to start the year, 150, but he's squared a lot of balls up that have been caught in some unlucky swings.
One out, base is clear. Boyd throws on the outside corner, strike called. Matt Cross finishes today's game 0-3 with an RBI walk and a run scored in the 5-run sixth inning. The pitch bouncing in to Villar. One ball, one strike. Boyd replaces Seth Mayberry, who tossed the eighth inning and allowed two runs on three hits and a walk. The pitch from Boyd. Low and in, and the count moves into the hitter's favor. Two balls and one strike on McCall. 9-7, Fort Wayne, bottom of the ninth. The pitch. That's outside. And McCall has worked the count to 3-1 with Johnny Butler waiting on deck. What does he get here from Boyd? The pitch. Line drive center field. Robert Hassel III is there. He's got it. And there's two down.
Come on, guys. We can do this. Have faith.
I mean, it's the same old story for Patrick McCall. Another hard hit ball, but right at the center fielder.
Johnny Butler is the batter. Batting left, waiting, first pitch, strike called. Two outs, nobody on. And the Lansing Lugnuts need a base runner to bring the tying run up to home plate. 9-7 Caps, and a one. Outside. The Lugnuts have had 17 at-bats in this game with runners in scoring position. They went 6-17. 26 outs recorded by Fort Wayne. Boyd kicks, throws. That hits the outside corner. Strike two called.
They've been the opposite of what their big league club has done, which the A's have been the best in the bigs with runners in scoring position to start the year.
But they're 3-4. At bat number five, he swings and grounds it to second baseman Reyes. Gathers, throws, got him at first, and this ball game is over. Your final score, Fort Wayne 9, Lansing 7. So the Tin Caps win the first two games of the series, albeit in very different ways. 10-3 yesterday, in a game that they scored five runs in the ninth to blow up. And in this one, a very high-scoring game by both teams, they hold off the Lugnuts despite a 15-hit Lansing Lugnuts barrage.
Well, this is it was a weird game. No question about it, but you feel like the Lugnuts could have won this game. They just could not score in clutch situations. Give them credit. They got back into it with the five-run fifth inning. five-run sixth inning, rather, and then they tacked on two more in the eighth, but there were so many more opportunities left out there. And just specifically, you peek at an Angeles triple with one out in the first. I mean, you look at another triple with one out in the seventh from Jack Winkler, and those are just a couple of moments, Jesse. So, again, great job by Fort Wayne. They pitched out of some jams, and they capitalized when they got runners at second and third, where tonight Lansing just still trying to find that consistency, could not get it tonight. And most nights, seven runs and 15 hits is going to be enough. Not tonight, though.
In the losing cause, another great offensive game for Aribiel Angeles with three hits. He's now hitting .364. Gabriel Macio went 2-for-5. He's hitting .458. But, Adam, how about the numbers 8 and 9 hitters? Johnny Butler, though he does make the final out on the ground out to second base, finishes 3-for-5. And Ryan Robas finishes 3-for-4.
Well, you're trying to find your lineup, right? And who can be the top 9 for you and build some depth at the bottom of the order? Ryan Robas is showing us that he can be a great card turnover guy. To get you back to the top of the order. And Johnny Butler, he hits wherever you put him in the lineup, it seems. And to give him a little extra padding sitting down there in the eighth spot, that's a sneaky good position for a really good hitter and a former batting champ in the ACC.
Well, final totals, 9 runs, 11 hits, and no errors for the Fort Wayne Tin Caps, who improved to 7-4. They strand 6 runners on the bases. 7 runs, 15 hits, 4 errors for the Lansing Lugnuts. Lugnuts fall to 3-8. Lansing strands 10 runners on the bases tonight. Tomorrow, Thursday of the year. And we will see the righty Grant Holman go to the mound against Ryan Burgert for Fort Wayne. Tomorrow, 6.05 p.m., 5 p.m. gates. Adam, just about Grant Holman. He just watched his teammates put up 7 runs on 15 hits today. They have not scored a single run in a Grant Holman start yet. Tomorrow things are going to change, right?
Yes, I think so. And you think of Grant Holman and that starting pitching, the Lugnuts need a good starting pitching effort. The last time they got one, they won. Osvaldo Barrios pitched really well in that series finale against West Michigan. It was their last victory, so it's no surprise. Obviously got the bats going, but you need a good start, and hopefully Grant Holman can deliver it tomorrow.
All right, beautiful. Any final thoughts?
I think just this team, to me, Jesse, is better than 3-8, but they've got to play a consistent game, and they've got to start to get in a rhythm on both sides, pitching it and hitting the baseball and coming through in clutch situations. Hang on to this team. They're going to be all right. We'll see if they can get going tomorrow.
And on that note, we say goodnight. For Adam Jaxa, I'm Jesse Goldberg-Strassler. Once more, your final score. The Tin Caps 9, the Lansing Lugnuts 7. Good night from Michigan State Capitol and Jackson Field.